And welcome to In-Game Chat for Monday, June 21st, 2010. It's the Tiger Balls episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
And I'm RJ.
All right, we're all here, and it's the week after E3. It's the Monday after E3, and so this show focuses on, pretty much all of E3. We had the Metal Gear Solid Rising. Peripherals versus games, as far as the presentations were concerned, it was more on peripherals than it was on showing games, although some did show the games, and those were really the highlights. Everything we know about the Kinect, which isn't too much. Impressions on the PS3 Move. Questions and answers that were missing from the show. EA's presentation, we go over all of the press conferences that were there. Also, Epic Mickey, some of the Nintendo stuff there. And Steam on PS3, or at least Steamworks on PS3. We talk about there as well. And the new Xbox 360, Medal of Honor sucks. And I'm in the minority of liking the Crackdown 2 demo. So there you go. If you'd like to contribute to the show, all you have to do is send us a tweet on Twitter at In-Game Chat. Also, email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. And you can call us. Thanks, Kevin. You always give us a call. We enjoy that. But yeah, you can call
us. Make sure you remind us that it's you, too, because we never really are sure about that.
We get so many people that call that sound exactly like you. 201-7-IN-GAME is the phone number, and you can check us out at colonyofgamers.com at the forums over there and leave your comments. So there you go. Enjoy the show.
He's too busy being on TV.
I'm pretty much sure that I saw more of the show than you did after talking to you a couple of times. I know I sure as hell did on Monday.
Yes.
You didn't see jack shit.
I didn't see anything on Monday. I didn't get into any of that stuff. I didn't see EA's press conference. I didn't see Microsoft's press conference.
Basically, I think the only real way to handle this chronologically.
Well, we can start with Microsoft. I did watch those afterwards, so
which isn't exactly the same thing.
It's not.
It's kind of like New Year's Eve. You know, it's nice to watch that stuff live, knowing that everybody else can't fucking believe what they're seeing. That several hundred thousand people are aghast all at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that works on both.
Let me ask, that works on
both ends of Microsoft's press conference.
I mean, I know you, and I know Jeremy and I stayed on top of everything throughout the course of the week. RJ, did you pay any attention at all to E3?
The only thing I got from E3 was everything that was on the PS3 network. You know, anything that caught my interest, I just clicked on their download section and started looking at it from there.
Okay. What about you, Matt?
I caught some tweets and just little things. When I wasn't studying, because, you know, I had class and stuff, so.
Yeah, this isn't a podcast about your class. This is a podcast about
games. I did get straight, you know, 100s on both tests, so I was a distinguished graduate.
I really don't care.
But they might. They might.
Oh, they don't.
I guess.
Oh, they don't.
I'm sure nobody's ever done that before.
Email me if you care. I won't get an email.
They don't care about that either.
No, I saw some of the podcasts, saw some of the trailers,
yeah.
You know, preview trailers, read a little bit
about
it.
You have an understanding of how the show progressed, right?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be kind of a dominant theme here tonight.
Yeah.
About, boy, wasn't that a shitty E3, kind of overall.
Well, it's like, well, maybe, you know, boy, that press conference was bad, maybe the next one will be better. Boy, that was bad, maybe the next one will be better.
It just seemed a lot of it. I mean, from not really following it like as it was going on, but catching a little bit here and there. It seemed a lot of it was about peripherals and just stuff that just
most of it was about peripherals.
You know, like, oh look, we're having everything in 3D now.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's not like any of us thought that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I want to be clear about that. Everybody knew that those things were going to feature prominently. The problem was, I think we had all expected some kind of division between, here's our new peripheral focus. I mean, they said, I can't remember how long ago, sometime last year in 2009, Microsoft had said, we're not on the cusp of a new console, but we are introducing this motion technology, so we fully intend to support it and to treat it like a new console
launch.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, then I fully expect you to put all your weight behind it at E3. That was understood fucking better part of a year ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that doesn't necessarily extinguish my hopes that they're going to show video games. And, yeah. I mean, I really wish you had actually been there, because I would like to know the temperature of the audience at the Microsoft press conference. because the only time the only time I can remember them turning the camera around is after they gave all them bitches new 360s and bought themselves a little bit of like lukewarm applause.
The most expensive cheap pop
in the world.
Yeah. I can tell you how I felt.
Their Oprah moment.
Yeah. I can tell you how I felt in previous E3s whenever they would show. Like I think it was last year's or was it the year before that when they did the movie thing and they had those three people sitting on the couch and like doing examples of putting themselves in movies or you're in the movies or whatever it was called.
You're in the movies a couple years back.
Well, I can remember what I felt when that was going on. Yeah. And that was complete like...
And you want to sort of like stretch that out over
you just,
about...
Yeah, you're like, oh, I don't
over
want
to about
be here.
80 minutes.
Yeah, really.
However much time it didn't take to...
feel bored. You feel embarrassed almost.
We got like 12 seconds of Metal Gear Solid Rising game footage.
Yeah.
I got about what I considered to be about an equal amount of time, somewhere between like 10 and 15 seconds of the only Halo 3 gameplay that's made me raise an eyebrow in the better part of a decade. You know, like spaceships, you know, like that was pretty, the whole first intro part to that was just, okay, whatever. It's Halo. Like, yeah. I got no hate on for it, but like, okay, I'm seeing Halo, you know. And all of a sudden it turns into fucking Star Fox.
Yeah.
Which I could really get behind, just as an idea. And that was it. Like, that was, I don't know, it was something, it was Gears, but like, Jesus Christ. Man. As if that was even remotely distinguishable from any of the others.
Exactly.
That's perfectly fine.
But now you have a female and...
Yeah, whatever. And then, I mean, you like Gears. You like Gears. That's fine.
They brought out a sedated Peter Molyneux to introduce
Fable
3.
I don't know
what
they did. They obviously fucking stuck him with a horse tranquilizer or something, because he just didn't care.
Yeah, he really didn't.
So, yeah, here's my game.
I'm not sure he's ever cared less about anything.
It's got some new stuff in it, and it's kind of cool.
He probably wanted to talk about Milo, and they said no.
He was borderline honest.
I know.
And sort of forthright in that. There was no...
Well, maybe it took going through what he had to go through last time to get him to that point. But
he
then
has
again,
been... Dude,
he's
he has been
there
through
like a
the
number
ringer
of times,
so many
though.
Times. It's the last time wasn't even a problem. The last time it was just like, ah, this is what he does. Yeah. You know, there's no reason for him to stop that behavior. But, I mean, okay.
I was kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, so was I. But in the tradition of not giving me anything I want... You know, they totally had to squelch Molyneux. I'll just say, why not start on a positive note? I swear to God, I cannot wait to cut the shit out of things. However the hell I'm going to be cutting shit out of things.
Holy shit!
Do not tell me that you didn't look at that trailer.
Did either of you guys see the Metal Gear Rising trailer?
No.
All right, oh, look. God. Yeah, I swear to God, guys, I'm pressing. I just hope that doesn't mean edited for American release.
Yeah.
But no, like that was a good way to start the show.
And it's a multi-platform?
Yes, it is multi-platform, 360 and PS3. I'm curious about whether that's going to hold to the traditional multi-platform rules. That multi-platform always, not always, but a lot of times has an advantage on the 360.
Yeah.
I imagine with the...
Final Fantasy didn't.
Right. With how much... how much time they've spent developing for the PS3 already.
Yeah, they've already done a whole game with 4, so...
It may very well be better on the PS3. And the Japanese developers, you know, PS3 is the bigger system over there. If they're going to be FMV heavy like Final Fantasy with their cutscenes.
You know it's an advantage on the PS3.
So, I don't know. It's, you know, too early to even guess, but if I had to guess, I'd say PS3 would probably end up being the better version.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the gameplay. We sure as hell don't know anything about the story.
Mm-hmm.
But if this kind of...
It should be
if
before
If this sort of
four,
departure
right?
is what you get when... Because Kojima's not directly involved.
Okay.
He's producing, but he's not the creative director at all. There's some other guy entirely. He's at a remove from this game. And if this is what you get when he's at arm's length, then...
All right.
I mean, we don't know. We've seen a few seconds of gameplay, but the indication is that this is significantly different than anything that he has done.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to see a perfect contemporary example of his shit, it's happening on the PSP version. It's happening on a...
Oh, yeah.
whatever. Peace Walker.
Peace Walker, yeah. That's a very Kojima game. This wasn't weird enough. If the weirdest thing you do is chop up a watermelon at the end, you weren't made by Kojima.
So. If you've been peed on the watermelon.
Right.
Yeah, man, but watching them chop that shit up and it coming apart right at the place the blade separates it, that is absolutely
amazing. That's fun technology.
Tech.
That's and we evidently were not alone
it's
in thinking, how come I've never seen a lightsaber do that?
Exactly. And then you get
an awful
to
lot of people who were like, okay, that's great, Metal Gear, blah, 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 riding with a sword, yakety yak. Where's my fucking lightsaber game that can do that? Because now, at this same show, I have to watch a Star Wars Force Unleashed trailer that can't do anything like that.
Mm-hmm. You get to the end of the press conference, and they show old boy whacking stormtroopers on the head with a lightsaber like it's a baseball bat. And then
like it's fucking Nerf,
you know?
Or something. Bonk. It's like, bonk. What is this shit? You know, keep your fucking...
Yeah, but you could push their armor off now.
No, you can't.
That's what they're...
I don't know, whatever. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. I mean, they inadvertently set the bar awfully high for anything that can do...
But, you know,
anything that can cut anything else now sucks if it can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, LucasArts has always been weak when it comes to really, you know, dismembering... I mean, yeah, with the Jedi Knight series, you could, like, occasionally lop an arm off in two, you know, but, you know, there's never been the blood.
And Dark Forces, too.
Yeah, Dark Forces, too, Jedi Knight. But, yeah, and with the Outcast, you know, you had to cheat like a motherfucker mm-hmm. to, you know.
No, not like a motherfucker. You just had to enable save a realistic combat.
Yeah, but, I mean, that should have been the default setting, obviously.
Should have been. I agree.
Because, you know, that's how you do it. You know, you slice it and their parts fall off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, LucasArts has always been geared more towards
little
the
girls.
Yeah.
Walked into that.
All right. Start talking about Monkey Island.
Not for long. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty good opener. I was in a place where I could believe that I was going to see.
They had you going, didn't they?
See video games, you know, mm-hmm. and they followed that up with. Halo is like whatever. It's Halo and it's Gears, and I was not. I mean, I'm under no illusions that I'm gonna fly around in lots of spaceships during Fall of Reach. Like,
yeah, no.
We kind of know the story of Fall of Reach. There's not a lot of that going on, so. I kind of saw it and thought, like, that's really great. Now do a whole game about that. Some other game.
Yeah.
But just do a whole game about that.
Yeah.
Because clearly, I could have sworn that the technology to make a shooting game in space disappeared.
10 years ago.
Yeah. That it vanished from the face of the earth and nobody can remember how to do it. Clearly, that's not the case. I just like to see it happen. I don't give a shit what game it is. Not really. But, fuck. I don't know. That was okay. I just can't. I mean, even as far as video games are concerned, we didn't get very deep into the Microsoft press conference before there wasn't anything worth looking at.
Before they were done with video games.
And then, like, it was. I don't know. I think it was probably wrong to ever expect equal time between video games and Kinect tech.
Yeah.
But. I mean, don't get me wrong. They spent the entire fucking time on it. That's fine. They're probably leveraged out the ass against that sort of stuff. To acquire the tech, to develop it, to implement it, to create an entirely new marketing strategy based entirely on some other dude's marketing strategy. You know.
The thing that had me curious about the Kinect is the Slim has a special Kinect port.
Yes, it does. It's a powered port.
So
without the port, you just connect through USB
and then
you have external power.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It actually has the Kinect has a motorized base for moving around for target tracking.
Okay.
But
it's just it is a USB port.
Yes.
Well, the USB can be powered.
Just not
probably
enough.
Not as much as it needs. Because USB only carries, like, I think, 5 volt.
Yeah.
Power. So
don't worry about it. That's the case. That's a fact of the matter. It is also the least of Kinect's problems. What fucking port you stick it into. Like, that's not your trouble, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a reason for you to lament the fact that you don't have a shiny black fingerprint magnet now. Like, that's not your worry. The biggest worry about Kinect is that we don't really fucking know anything. Everything that they showed, like after everything that they did, there are more questions about that technology than there are answers. Like, so little of what they showed was actually legitimate and happening on stage.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've spent the past week in the same places that a lot of people have, on our forum of choice, combing through all of the evidence and the marketing, trying to separate fact from fiction, like signal from noise, and figure out exactly what something is, and fight against the haters and the apologists and all of this other stuff to figure out like what the goddamn thing is. And I can't...
Overpriced, that's what it is.
No, you don't know that.
You don't know the
that's
price,
the, that's one of the biggest the problems.
I thought they announced it as $150.
No, they haven't announced shit.
See, like, you would think it's $150 because everybody keeps saying it's $150. Man, Microsoft ain't said.
Say what you will, and I'll jump ahead a little bit. And say what you will, and I think all of it's likely going to be overpriced. Sony are the only people with the fucking testicles enough to actually come out and say that what their fucking price is.
It was $99.
It's varied.
It's all varied over the place
depending on what you want
and depending on what you have
or what you need. Just because the different pieces of tech cost different amounts of money. Some people already have the camera, and the camera that comes with the kit is identical to the camera that's already on the market. So if you want,
people will only want a wand or a wand and a movement controller, or they might want two wands or
right.
Whatever. Like
the major complaints leveled against it are, what is it going to cost? One thing I'd like to get out of the way is I don't think it's necessarily fair for us, amongst us, to talk about what's the cost including a system. That is obviously fair when you're thinking about the people this is actually marketed for, but I don't know how they think. That's a conclusion that I've come to after this week. I have no concept of how or why they come to the conclusions they do. Like, Jeremy and I have talked about this, and it's like, well, do you really know why they think the way they do? I don't. If this marketing is designed to work on them, and it does, clearly there's not much similar between us, because it doesn't work on me.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is too much for them, I don't even know, and I'm not going to guess. But I'm not going to include the price of the system as an entry-level thing, just because I've already got them all. I mean, if you're arguing about what's going to be more likable to them, I don't even think we have enough information to even do that yet, because we haven't seen enough of the actual software. Even for shit that's supposed to be out in a few months.
Yeah.
There's been very, very little software.
I'd go
discussed.
Ahead and go out on a limb and say Natal is going to be more attractive to them.
I would say
because
so
of the way
it's. Because it's one thing.
Yeah. And
by
it's,
one thing.
It's also a shiny new technology that they haven't had their hands on yet. And it's kind of dazzling to see like all the motion tracking happening. Whereas if you just look at the Sony stuff, just glance at it, it looks like Nintendo stuff at first glance.
Yeah.
So it's easy to see it, think, well, I've been there and done that, and move on, when it's something different altogether. But, you know, looking at this thing, I have to imagine that they'll be dazzled by it.
I suppose, but at the same time, here you are trying to think
them. I know.
Seeing something that's familiar.
That's as far as I can go, though. Like the
familiar things make them
happy.
I
tried to figure out the price thing, and I'm not equipped to do that. So.
Well, whatever. All I know is that they're probably all uproariously expensive. But the only people to talk anything about price were Sony.
Yeah.
We have no concept of what the 3DS is going to be priced at. We have no honest concept of what Kinect is going to be priced at. Because one of the really persistent rumors is that we still don't have a good understanding of what the device is. Because at this point, everybody's trying to break down what are the manufacturing costs. But we don't actually know what's in it. Because originally, the stand has a motorized mount, like a little gimbal or something on it. It's got, two cameras, a speaker, what other kind of sensor? Is an IR sensor on it?
I believe, yeah, there's an IR sensor.
And originally had its own onboard processor for dealing with all of the data, all of the input.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was set off to the box. Then supposedly to lower the price, they offloaded all that work back to the 360 and removed the onboard processor, which doesn't sound like a hell of a good idea to me, because they're eating into the overhead of the 360, which automatically means that the quality of the games has to
the theoretical top end of the game.
Yeah.
But there have been rumors that because of performance issues, the processor has gone back on board to Kinect. And so nobody really seems to know definitively. The people who know clearly aren't saying. The specs haven't been released. And so we have no clue. So even the guesses really are just that, the guesses. If we want to put stock in what, half a dozen now different major retailers claiming 150, that's an educated guess.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not taking a shot in the dark, but I don't know. I think if it's 150, then anyone who's interested just got lucky, because I think that's on the low end of what you should expect. So, but I hope I'm not alone in feeling like for the second year in a row, I didn't see anything from it. Last year it was videos. This year it was live pantomime. You know,
Well, what's the first thing you noticed when you saw people using it on stage?
Lag like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
For the first couple of days, I was willing to think, well, they're processing all of that video through large screen displays. Mm-hmm. And I know that can introduce an awful lot of lag to something. And what we weren't seeing is the screen that the actor was using.
Right.
So, I don't know. But then reports from the show floor, once people actually got down there and started messing around with it, where the lag was absolutely...
Yeah, the lag was still there. You could visibly see the lag.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You didn't have to play it to watch that. They had big-ass glass enclosures where people could go inside and do that, and they had the screen up there. You could watch what they were seeing. Mm-hmm. You could easily see what they were doing.
You could see their display.
Yeah, you could see their display, because the TV was in front of them, and they were standing in front of it, and they were doing their thing, and you could see lag while they were doing that. Now, the lag wasn't that bad. It wasn't so unresponsive that it threw you off, or at least it didn't seem to throw them off.
Well, look at the stuff you're playing.
That's my exact thing. Everything that they were playing was the kind of thing that isn't
right.
Super timing intensive.
Mm-hmm.
The argument is always going to fall back more toward action games and shooter games and games of precision. And if the lag is present, then... I mean, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Kinect. I really like its technology. If I were just examining how something does what it does, I think that it's pretty fucking impressive. It's more impressive than Sony's by far.
Mm-hmm.
Sony's is hokey and a little bit kludgy and clumsy, and there's too many bits and parts. But my suspicion is that it actually works better.
Mm-hmm.
That the actual functionality, when you get past the truly exorbitant price and the fact that you've got so much shit laying around, that it's very much like the kind of mess you have kind of orbiting around your house if you have a Wii and all the attendant controllers. Like, I don't like that idea. But it looks like it would actually function better for what I want.
Mm-hmm.
The very first motion-oriented anything that I gave a shit about during the whole show, probably the only one I gave a shit about, was Sorcery. I don't know who saw what or who didn't see anything.
No, didn't see that one.
I know you saw that, at least from the
because we saw, like,
you were busy,
your giant face on my TV like five times.
Laughing like a jackass. were you sitting on an aisle?
No, actually, there was a dude next to me. Yeah.
Oh, you're sitting like close to one.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, we were close to the aisle because there was a dude with a camera.
It was really easy for them to get a camera to your face.
Yeah.
Because Scott just kept fucking showing up over and over.
We need a reaction shot. Cue the fat guy.
Yeah.
He's jolly looking.
He's having a good time. Yeah, that shit looked really fun. Like, the stuff he was doing was just sort of cute and simple and relatively effective. You know, it still
you could still
rough
see
as
that there
hell.
Was that there was lag.
Yeah, and it was rough, and it wasn't perfect, but it was the first thing that made me think, like,
hey, I might actually enjoy
I might
playing
have fun
something
playing
with this.
That.
Yeah,
I could do that and probably have fun, because he would do shit like he had. I believe that one was a the wand and the
yes
and the movement
and the movement controller.
Yeah,
and it was like, you know, fucking sorcerer kind of thing, like moderately generic looking, like, I'm a douchebag sorcerer with a wand kind of whatever.
He'd, you know, like, shake his wand and it would shoot things out.
He tosses the thing out and it's like his little dude is like shooting, you know, arcane bolts or what the fuck ever and stuff. And it wasn't perfect because every now and then
he'd fucking like shoot one off into the right wing somewhere, and it's like, yeah, your shit's not quite right.
He took out his little potion. And
but he like, you know, he hits the thing and brings up a radial, and he's like, I got a potion. So he like picks up the potion, you know, and it's like, well, it's been sitting here a while. So he like shakes it to activate the potion, and like, you know, his little color ball on the end changes to green.
Yeah,
and then like he turns the move controller upside down, like he's drinking it, you know, and like the dude drinks the potion and stuff. I was like, that's pretty cute, you know.
Yeah, there was like some sort of whirlwind spell that he had to twirl to cast.
He could like he selected fire, you know, and he could like toss out fire, and then he could create like a fire, like enemies were coming at him.
Draw a line in front of him to create a wall of fire,
and then like brings up like the wind spell and like twirls his controller like it's a lasso and whips up a whirlwind and throws it, and it picks up the fire. And is like, pillar, so it's like fire, a just pillar of fire, like wandering around, you know. And he could like, I think he was steering it.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was,
that sounds interesting.
It looked more proof of concept than anything, because it was rough, like pretty much everything was. But I was like, yeah, that I could imagine having fun with that. And you know what I could do? I could probably do it sitting down.
See, that's the thing. Like, I'm still in that headspace where, minus, you know, Rock Band or, you know, playing with the guitar, the whole idea of like, you know, waggling around my, you know, my arms to do anything is just like, I don't know if I really want to do that. I'd rather just be, you know, vegging out and just clicking buttons.
Yeah.
You know, buttons
are not only a proven interface, but they're
just easy.
They're extremely fast.
Yeah.
And they're very simple. They've been designed for years and years and years around economy of movement. And so much of this other stuff, not only is it not going to be able to match the fidelity, but it isn't going to be able to. Over and over again, people have said, no, it feels perfectly great to put your arms out in front of you and act like you're steering.
Fuck that.
I'd rather have a steering wheel.
That's fine. I will even believe them. But for any serious period of time, that's not going to be particularly comfortable.
Yeah, your arms get tired.
I'm just... Yeah. Like, and a lot of people,
like, well, like with the Zelda, the my Twilight Princess, I just got tired of wagging my arms around every time I want to hit something.
Well, waggle, which is exactly what so many Wii games had been relegated to, isn't motion control.
It's, yeah,
it's waggle.
Waggle tech.
So, I don't know. All I know is that Microsoft is very, very, very good at image control and at message control. And if you pay attention to what they showed you, if you just sort of look at what they showed you and let what they say wash over you, it's easy to see and think, this is going to be great. But if you look at it, if you read between the lines...
There's a couple of things you'll notice in common with all of the presentations they did. One is, there was never more than two people participating in any of the games.
Actively participating. Mm-hmm. There were times when there were more people, but...
They're just observing.
They were just observing or playing along.
And the other is, they were always, always standing.
And they were very, very careful to say, well, there's all the stuff you can do to control your Xbox's front end, which actually looked
quite, I enjoyed that, yeah,
quite excellent. It looked really, really cool. But one of the caveats was, and this is something that came up much later, particularly when the first place it ever came from, and I was bitching about this while we had the recording off a few minutes ago, is that somehow this was the first time I really started to get upset. Somehow you've stuffed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of supposed journalists into an exhibition hall to have hands-on time with these things and FaceTime with the people who are trying to fucking sell it. And nobody asks any questions. 99% of the news that came out of last week was nothing. Nothing that could not have been distributed in a press release through the fucking email or the snail mail where necessary. It was nothing. Every news item was some regurgitated paraphrasing of shit that was said on stage. Very little of it was, I'm going to go do this, and then I'm going to ask a question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure the first example I saw of that was when Totillo asked if he could fucking sit down. Like, can I sit down while I do this? No. And it, like, started this whole thing where, you know, he was questioning, like, essentially going from one person to the next person, being like, okay, fine, like, if I'm doing one of your dancing games, man, yeah, obviously. If I'm doing, like, one of these crazy full-body party games, no doubt.
You don't expect, like, to play, like, you know, Twister.
No. That's exactly how it should be played. But
what about driving?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, because last year, one of the only actual demonstrations of the technology that they had was, I think it was Burnout Paradise, running on early Natal tech, and they had people sitting down in a chair in a hotel room, and it was working. And don't know what happened, but they didn't have anything being demonstrated like that. Everything required you to stand. It simply was not calibrated for sitting, or they were still working on it for sitting, or the thing just doesn't know how to map your skeleton.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot of reasons, and they didn't all sound like bullshit excuses, but the common thread seemed to be, it doesn't work so well. We don't know how to make it work. So in order to really use the gesture shit, you got to stand. Even though in the past, they've clearly indicated that you should be able to sit and do at least some of it.
There was something in the way that they pitched even the menu controls.
I think they had that sitting down. They were very down.
Well, a long time ago, they demoed that shit sitting down.
Yeah.
The problem was they didn't at the show. Okay. And what they did was they were very clever in their pitch. And they were very clear to sell the idea of hands-free browsing of the interface. Because what they really wanted you to do, and what they technically demonstrated, was voice control.
Yeah.
They did not... They spent more time when talking about the interface using the voice control than they did the gesture-based stuff by a significant margin. You know, giving birth to the short-lived Xbox meme. That was on all the forums, you know, because that's how you have to. That's
yeah,
you have to address the fucking machine.
Xbox and all us.
Yeah,
and just when you need, like, you know, drunken roommate to stumble in, just like, you
well,
know,
but okay. There's another question: to what degree can an incidental noise override a direct command? Because we're not talking into our actual mics that are connected to a controller anymore. We're talking into the microphone that's embedded into the Kinect unit.
Mm-hmm. To and what as far degree as the motion control goes, can somebody sitting on the couch behind me get up and go into the kitchen to get a snack without fucking me up?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, how much frat house griefing is going to go on? How much inadvertent living room griefing is going to go on? Like, there are so many questions about this that some of those were asked but absolutely not answered, or they certainly weren't asked of people. They were asked sort of to the ether and not to the people who could answer the question.
More rhetorical than actual.
And so, like, you sort of look back on the actual demonstration and you realize there was very little going on there. Clearly some of it was pantomime. Some of it was rehearsed. Just because maybe stage conditions are bad. I understand that it could be really sensitive to depth of field and lighting and all of these other things, which are a fucking pain in the ass. But the takeaway was that none of what they showed me was honestly believable. And there was something authentic about... There was a granularity to Sony's demonstrations that didn't exist in the Microsoft demonstrations. There was a believability to it because it didn't look perfect. It looked really rough around the edges, but it made me... I made an honest connection with what was happening because I was like, yeah, okay, I really feel like what I see that dude doing isn't something that he could just... ape.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff in the Natal looked like something that somebody could ape. And even the parts of it, even some of it, if you convinced me that they weren't, I would merely be convinced that they were moving around and something kind of generally related to their flailings was happening on screen, which honestly seems to be all that anybody wants, is to just move around and see something happen on screen. Because a lot of what Microsoft was showing looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get me to buy into a dance game because I just don't want to dance.
Yeah.
My girlfriend likes to shoot things. She doesn't like to dance, so she's not going to want to buy it for that. I don't expect it to take the place of my controller for hardcore games, and I'm not even saying that they've claimed that. They really haven't. They don't seem to have overstepped the machine's capabilities in that regard. They seem clear that they want me using a controller for my shooters, and that's, or my action games, you know, and that's totally cool. But so they need to figure out something else, whatever that might be, that's going to interest me to any degree. But I don't know, man. It looked like a show, and I know it is a show, but it didn't look like it was just hype show. It looked like bullshit. And there's so much left unknown. How many people can actually participate in a Kinect session? Previously, again, in sometime in the past, there were there were claims of four.
Yeah. You usually see like that family of four.
But see the family of four you see in the canned videos.
Yeah, that was all. Yeah,
at least two of them are sitting down.
Sitting down,
not doing anything. They're eating popcorn and looking.
They also didn't show off the thing that they touted last year, which was like, hold the object in front of it, it scans it, and then puts it inside the thing.
About that.
Didn't even show any of that. Of course, I mean, Milo was completely missing from the entire thing.
It's good. Every indication, and I'm not looking to fire shots at it necessarily. I am not interested in any of this technology. I like where we were going before that. And if you look back far enough, what they clearly want, is to participate in the casual revolution that centered around the Wii.
Yeah.
Which kind of, it cooled. I don't want to say that it died off completely, although having spent time in retail during that period, it fell off a cliff in terms of sales. The market got to where it needed to be, and that was it.
But by that time, they'd already put their resources into developing the tech.
They'd already committed themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's all okay. And I've got enough things to hate that I don't need to rail against that.
Which leads me to think that their next thing, because, I mean, if you follow the pattern of Nintendo, which was the casual gamer and the movement controls, that sort of thing, and then they stepped into that. And then Nintendo, I guess, what, a year, 2 years after the Wii was the Wii Fit? Mm-hmm. Was it a year or 2 years after? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, did the same thing.
Exactly
and then we see a completely new publisher come along and say, well, we're going to do this for Kinect. And I think you're going to see another. I think you're seeing another growth spurt of, well, I mean, shit. They said it at the Ubi conference. I was with Ghost Bear, and the woman on stage said something, and Ghost Bear turned to me. He's like, "There's a fitness genre now," because they said fitness genre. It's going to do wonders for the fitness genre. Jeremy looked at me. And he's like, "There's a fitness genre."
The minute EA Sports Active got involved, like it really became a fitness genre. Which is another thing that I have a huge problem with, because I think the tech is theoretically good for that. I get into really dangerous border territory with this argument. I don't like being told that. I've never understood the hate against the music games. That, well, you should just go learn to play a guitar. You think you're playing a guitar, but you're not. You should just learn to play one. Man, fuck you. Like, I'm playing a rhythm game with a fun toy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm air guitaring with a peripheral. Like, I've been air guitaring. Nobody ever told me while I air guitared in my Camaro that I was being an asshole and wasn't really playing guitar and should go learn to play guitar. Yeah bitch, I'm air guitaring. Like, I'm having a fantasy, motherfucker. That's all Guitar
but
Hero and all this other shit was.
But it's different fitness games. Because fitness
that's
game,
not a game.
Yeah, you're.
I don't ever fantasize about working out.
Yeah, you're implying that this is good for you, that this will get you in shape.
Right, and it might have like a small benefit.
Yeah,
but it's not
but
a
all
game.
All it's going to take is some university deciding to do a study on how much it helps, and then there's like a 15-second report on all the evening news that says, it turns out they don't really help you more than, a morning run or whatever.
And there have been some very small reports about that already, that it's like...
And at that point, everybody laughs about the fad and moves on.
Yeah. Well, they don't help you, they just give you a tennis elbow or something.
Yeah.
And it is kind of a fad, because I think if you're looking to work out, you should just maybe go work out. I've done a lot of that in my life too. Not, in the past 10 years. But
and the thing is I don't even
I don't think I'd ever want to do it in front of a console.
Seems more like a fitness fad than a game fad.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Man, there are a lot of fitness fads that come and go.
Didn't Nintendo try that 26 years ago with the Power Pad?
Now, but see that.
Not really.
When I think of the Power Pad, I think of track and field, which was a fucking video.
But
game.
I'd still,
I saw that at Kinect too.
That's
it. Wasn't about getting
but that's
in
the thing.
Shape.
That's
it wasn't about being fit.
The
was
lead
about,
is not about
pretending to be in an
in
Olympic
the Olympics,
sport.
Yeah,
which is perfectly fine.
Right.
If you want to sell me the idea of doing something that I can't realistically do in real life, not without death, an exorbitant amount of money, or an investment of thousands upon thousands of man hours. If you can indulge a fantasy, then I think you're going the right direction.
So instead of the Wii Fit, they use the that fitness pad for the Mario.
But the fitness pad is used for games.
Yeah.
For certain games, and the balance board is what it is.
Okay. Yeah, balance board. Yeah.
That's fine, and I'm not even saying the fitness thing is bad. I think what I'm trying to do here is give an example of.
Yeah.
there's like the shit's flowing from one thing to another, and I think some of the stuff belongs here, some of this message belongs in front of me, and some of it doesn't. Some of it is clearly just an effort to say, this is unbelievably expensive. I need to convince you that mom, dad, brother, and sister all have a stake in buying this thing. That if you get mom to buy it, then she'll be skinny and hot again. That's really what they're trying to do.
That's working, because my mom actually, she came up to me and she said that. She's like, what happened to your Wii? I'm like, well, James has it. He's like, oh, can you get that back? Because I've been hearing a lot about this, Wii Fit. I want to get that and, use that. I'm like, yeah. Why don't you just go walking, and say, she's like, but, I just want to try it out. I'm like, no. Right. So, yeah, I mean.
You can pull your hamstring without me bringing you the Wii Fit. Like, it's whatever. I don't begrudge anybody wanting to do that. I just think that it's a thing that. Just has, like, the motion stuff is what it is, but they're using this very disparate, very strange other thing to help kind of sell it, and I'm very suspicious of its inclusion, and I don't like it at all. I couldn't really come away with anything, even fantasy, that I really enjoyed about what Microsoft did. The only thing I can do is when I kind of step back and like look at the technology itself and think about the promise of the technology. If it was more fully advanced, man, I look at it and I just can't shake the feeling that the bitch needs to cook a little bit longer. That's it. Mm. That's what I look at. I don't hate it for what it is. I hate it for the only thing it seems to be doing right now. Because to go beyond that, to go beyond the casual, make the shape of the hole in the cardboard wall games, or jump up and down and like flail like a monkey games, which are going to be perfectly fine, and the supposed occasional dance games, even if they work as advertised, which I do not believe they will. It's not indulging any fantasy for me, and clearly it should theoretically be able to do that, but it just doesn't. It doesn't look like it's ready, and all that was left was. There's a hardcore part of me kind of has to hate it in some regard. But at the end of it, I was like, I saw basically one fucking game that I cared about. Another Halo, which is another Halo. I mean, I will play it, and I'm okay. I don't think that more Halos mean less, Elder Scrolls games, right? Like, the video game world is not necessarily a zero-sum game, but. Maybe from that one publisher, but whatever. They're obviously doing what they want to do. Like,
make money.
Yeah, I can't imagine that, like, if there was a decree against Halo games, then all of a sudden Marathon would have a resurgence and we'd be back into deep, deep story driven FPS RPG type thing. Like, no, we're doing what these guys want to do.
Yeah.
So if they want to make another Halo, make another fucking Halo. I'll rent the damn thing and I'll play through it and we'll all play through it and it'll be okay. And then it'll be gone. It's of little consequence.
Yeah.
Gears 3 is precisely the same way. Metal Gear Rising
looks
is quite a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
But again, that was the best that we got. 12 hot seconds.
I can tell you now, I'd play Metal Gear Rising, regardless of the story, I'd just play it just to mess around with that.
Oh, yeah. Just slice things.
With that
tech
stuff.
And say what you will about their fucking stories, man. They make good games.
Yeah.
The Metal Gear games are good games.
They're weird. And this one's supposed to take place before 4, right?
It takes place in the interim between 2 and 4.
Okay.
Kind of experiencing the evolution of Raiden from his just pure soldier state to the ninja.
Plus to kick-ass ninja.
Well, let's be fair. Okay? Let's take this opportunity to be completely honest and fair about Raiden. Very little of why he's labeled a pussy was his fault. Or was anything he did. It was pretty much everyone around him. Once we all... a couple of years after MGS2, when we got the bullshit out of our systems of just the bait and switch, which is really what was done to us, you realize it was a really great fucking video game. And he did a lot of cool shit in that video game. And he just wasn't given good dialogue choices. But when you have a good understanding of where he was left at the end of that game and then see him in four, you realize that he was already in a place to become something so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I can like him, just not like I like Snake.
Yeah.
And I am interested in playing a Raiden-centric story. I would prefer that it didn't take place between 2 and 4. I would like to see more. But they fucking deconstructed him at the end of 4, so there's no way for him to go on. There's no way for Snake to go on.
The only thing I would...
Not logically.
I would criticize them for is I think it should be called Metal Gear Rising instead of Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, they actually handled that criticism once or twice recently.
Did they? What'd they say?
Suck it up.
Basically, it's a brand.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid is a brand representing a period of time.
Mm.
And because this takes place between two things that are defined by the Solid brand, it's kind of confined by it. Raiden is defined by it. So I understood where they were coming from because of the guys they are, because of the men they are. I don't think it means the same thing that it does to us. To you and I, the fact that it absolutely contains no Snake or shouldn't means mm-hmm. there should be no Solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Solid is Snake. To them, I don't think it matters.
Well, technically, they've already gone there once already, though, with the Metal Gear Acid games. They were Metal Gear Acid.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, yeah, shouldn't technically 3 not have been Solid also? Because you played your big boss.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like a... But, I mean, 3 was very closely related to 4. Even though 3 took place way the fuck back there, like, 3's whole... The whole point of 3's existence was to tie into characters that existed in the 2 and the 4.
Anyway,
it's
a small thing. It's just a personal preference.
I think it's a personal preference for the majority of American gamers.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a preference at all for the Japanese mind. I think it means something entirely different to them. When they say Metal Gear Solid, they're thinking about a type of gameplay, a type of setting. I think when they divorce themselves from that, it's to pursue a different type of game.
Hmm.
Not necessarily the character. To us, it's intrinsically tied to the character.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it's that way to them. But I don't know. It didn't take much, though, man. Like, it didn't take a whole hell of a lot after Microsoft to make you happy, though. If anything, they set... What came right after? EA?
EA.
Holy shit, boy, was that a brilliant fucking press conference or what? All I remember is that they showed fucking video games.
Yeah, really.
And that's all it took was to show games. I mean...
I didn't see their press conference. What did they show?
They kicked it off with the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Criterion version.
How's that looking?
Looking great. Playing not the way I wanted to play.
Scott can't play it because
it's not Burnout.
Because you want to crash into everything.
No. I like the controls that Burnout has, which are very arcadey controls. And Need for Speed has never been known to have very arcadey controls. I mean, they're not completely sim, but they're also not completely arcade type controls. And I mean, they're clearly using Need for Speed controls with this. And so that's definitely I want to play more of it because all I did was one little chase with the guy behind me. He was the I was the cop and he was the guy I was trying to chase was the guy standing behind me, and so my instinct on playing a racing game is to never touch the brake.
Yeah.
And you have to in this.
Drifting and just
drifting's just a tap and you go, but that's a little bit different here because they don't drift like you drift in your arcade races, or at least your Burnout racer, put it that way. I'm going to be specific about it. But if dude slowed down and I zipped right past him, I'd have to turn around. Well, it's not as simple as just hitting the brake and turning around. If I hit the brake to try and turn, it'll spin me out. If I stop and try and turn around, it's usually cut left, you know, press gas. And if I do that, I spin out. I start turning into a 360 and then, you know, have to correct myself and then get back on track. So it lost a lot on me for that. I still want to play it and still want to try and see if I can get used to those controls and enjoy it, because there are some spectacular crashes that they've been promised that they would be in there. I asked the guy, I was like, that one crash, I don't know if you saw the demo.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the demo of it play. Whenever you stop the guy, if you're a cop and you stop the guy, it does this, the car gets sideways and then flips and rolls and it's a nice cinematic and shows that. And I was like, is that the stock crash? He's like, it is for right now. And I was like, oh, so there are going to be more? He's like, yeah, we're Criterion. You don't have to worry about that. And I was like, okay, that's great. That's great. Anyway, love what you do. Bye. You know, yeah, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm nervous about it. I'm nervous about it for myself. I'm happy for Criterion for what they've done. I think a lot of people who don't like Burnout and who are Need for Speed fans will pick this up and maybe attach themselves to that developer and say, these guys are good. These guys have done what they needed to do with the Need for Speed franchise. At least I hope so.
I haven't played a Need for Speed game since 3, Hot Pursuit.
Right, right. I don't play Need for Speed games. I played them when they were the only racer in town, but
yeah,
not really anymore. So
I remember when it was still Road and Tracks, Need for Speed.
Mm-hmm. What was the one they showed after that? Was it Medal of Honor they went into after that?
I don't remember the sequence of events, to be quite honest with you. I remember sort of not caring a hell of a lot about certain things that they did because the coverage of that event was, The live stream and the televised coverage was just like, now we're going to show you this trailer. And it was like, well, I actually saw that trailer yesterday because a lot of the actual trailers just showed up online. So they showed Dead Space 2.
Yep.
I saw the one with it had Isaac.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that was the official one, but saw that.
Well, they showed two parts. They showed half of it at EA, and then they showed the second half of it at Sony. Now, what they eventually spit out as far as like a PR type thing, or is like, here's the thing. I don't know if they combined
the two. There
were a lot
of edits floating around, depending on who was showing what.
Yeah.
Saw the trailer for Human Revolution. DSX.
Yeah. Which again had been floating around for a minute.
Yeah. Because I saw that before I went to Texas, and even then I was just like, this doesn't seem right.
What about it didn't seem right to you?
Just, I still think of Deus Ex like, you talked about it briefly, because I caught last week's podcast.
It's a prequel.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a prequel.
It doesn't look like that tech,
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm used to the old nasty looking, but yet still good, nanites and...
You can't, don't concern yourself too much with it, because there wasn't a lick of fucking gameplay.
Yeah.
Until there's gameplay, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, you can argue over whether it's interesting or not and what direction the design is clearly going in. But until there's gameplay, whatever. I need to know exactly how it's going to work. I know it's going to play like a console game.
Yeah.
Fucking nothing to do about that. It is a console game.
The one I did make sure I saw was the Portal 2 little teaser.
Well, that was... Yeah, that was an entirely different
press conference.
Different press conference.
Yeah,
I mean, EA was solid, but EA showed video games, and at that point in the day, that was all that was required.
That's all they needed to do.
And it was fine, Some of the stuff had actual fucking gameplay. Some of it was just your typical videos, and it was a decent mixture of the kind of thing we've come to expect from publisher press conferences.
Yeah, I mean, they cover their gamut. I mean, EA is a big company, so I mean, They had their main core titles. They had their sports stuff.
And the sports stuff happened. And I'm sorry, guys. I just was like... Because I was like eating lunch, I think, during that conference. And I was like, I'm gonna concentrate on my sandwich right now. Because I can't absorb this information.
I saw some of the stuff about the new FIFA 11. It was interesting for me. Because I still like soccer games. I played them on occasion. But, it was interesting.
The only thing that was interesting to me out of the sports stuff was their live broadcast, EA's live broadcast stuff for the MMA thing, which was you compete in tournaments online with that. And then I don't know how often they're going to do it. I don't know if it's once a month. I don't know if it's once a week. Could be something like the 1v100 that they did on the Xbox. They pick two players to go head-to-head, and they have live commentators. They have live updates. They do the whole thing, and you can watch it. If you have the game, that sort of thing. I thought, well, that's interesting. We'll see how long that lasts. But that's a neat little concept to come up with. They showed off another Madden. Yeah, so. And I think that was probably most of it from EA. I can't remember. Was there nothing at the end of that one?
I don't remember anything.
I know they went into their fitness thing.
The whole week is kind of smeared together into a blur for the most part.
Yeah, it really is. But I can't remember if it comes up, if I think about it.
Yeah.
We'll bring it back up. But I think that was pretty much their highlights there, where it's like Dead Space 2, Medal of Honor. For me, Dead Space 2, Medal of Honor, and the Need for Speed stuff. I don't remember anything else popping out to my mind. And after that was the Ubisoft press conference, which was horrible. What did they kick off with? Was it Sean White?
I had a hard time watching that. That was going on when I got home.
I had a hard time sitting through it.
Yeah, and I had a really difficult time finding a stream that worked.
Oh no, they didn't. They didn't kick it off with that. They kicked it off with that the guy that does the Rez and Luminous. And I can't remember his name. His Japanese name, but Child of Eden, I believe it was.
Oh,
he was
that
standing
was,
on stage doing his little motion.
That
controls.
Was actually
that looked cool, didn't
that
it?
That was pretty funky.
Yeah. But you can play that without Kinect. You don't have to have Kinect to play that.
Yeah, that came out what like a day or two after.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It was like no, you can actually do this. Big visual,
yeah,
crazy fucking, you know,
that's
whatever,
how little
man.
Screens,
like,
and it reminded me of the typical like
drugs.
You know, yeah, N2O back in the day.
Sure.
Or just you know when the crazy and it you know just, yeah whatever.
Yeah, that's what they started off with, and went into Sean White's skateboarding.
Yeah.
Then they had some. Well, they showed off some Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. No, they didn't show off gameplay. I think it was just a trailer, wasn't it?
The gameplay came later.
Yeah. They showed off gameplay at Sony's, I believe. But yeah, showed off just another trailer about that. Probably, I think, announced a release date on that or something like that at the time. Not much there from them on that. Ghost Recon. Future Soldier, I guess?
That, okay... There was never any chance. You probably haven't seen that.
I saw the
Future Soldier gameplay.
I saw the live action.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about gameplay. Yeah, there was gameplay. They showed gameplay.
There was no chance we were ever going to go back to the Ghost Recon that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
But this is clearly coming from. This is a descendant of Graw. I mean, there's no getting around that. I didn't know exactly where to place my expectations, but I was kind of happy with what they showed.
I was too.
Not fast gameplay, but fairly action-oriented. Yeah, fairly action-oriented. Good stealth mechanics, and by stealth mechanics, I mean your suit makes you invisible.
Yeah,
like so, literally invisible, standing two feet in front of the guy.
For me, the Graw felt more like actual combat. You know,
a little bit. It was just
the
control was hokey.
You are, you know.
Yeah, it was just
at a pace like that.
Your life depended on your ability to control your squad, or rather, the game's ability to have your squad do what you fucking want them to do,
yeah.
And they didn't always. And
which
so
is
I played,
why there's co-op.
Yeah, I played an enormous amount of Graw by telling my motherfuckers to stand behind me while I did all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, really.
And then okay, run up to me. Okay, now sit right here, and I'm going to kill every guy on this map, and then you can run up to me.
That's
total fail. Like, if that's what's happening, then you're squad-based shooter, then fuck it. I'll go back to lone wolfing. Thank you very much.
I mean, at least in Rainbow Six, they did more proactive.
Like, which Rainbow Six are you talking about?
The Vegas. They didn't.
Oh.
They weren't as useless as they were.
No.
I didn't play that alone. I played that with a buddy anytime I was playing that.
They were pretty good in that.
Yeah.
Of course, for the majority of Rainbow Six games that have ever existed, the only thing your guys did proactively
was
fucking punch bullets.
Or get the hostages killed.
Yeah, that was all they were.
Yeah, but they're showing this off, and the entire time I'm watching this, it's always at least two people. You know, it's you and a buddy who are going through this thing. They were going through it alone, obviously, but as far as like the players on stage. Just one guy, but he had another buddy there with him. On the screen going with it, and I'm thinking, looks like it should lend itself to some co-op here. And then they got to it at the very end. They said, yep. Did they say it was... They said four-player.
Four, really?
Yeah, it was four-player, completely campaign co-op. You can play the entire campaign co-op.
And it looked good. The shooting mechanics look solid. The cover mechanics look fine. Stealth mechanics and the ability to achieve different objectives on the map. I mean, it just looked solid. It certainly didn't... Again, keep in mind that at this point in the day, the mere act of showing gameplay
was
on a video game.
Yeah, live demo. Jesus Christ.
Of a game that looks pretty solid was enough to make me very happy. So the game is definitely on my radar. I think that the Advanced Warfighter games had a lot of fail in them.
I probably and I expect this too as well, but
going from Vegas to that, you know, the gameplay mechanics, especially the cover mechanics, was different between the two.
They shared almost nothing in common. Yeah,
so you know, going like because I played Vegas pretty heavily,
and Vegas actually I really liked the way that the cover mechanic worked in Vegas.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. You know, the right kind of context sensitivity and the right kind of...
I can't even remember the cover mechanic from Crawl.
It was...
You just walk up to it?
You walk up to it and press toward it, and you kind of, like, face run into the wall for a second, and then he takes...
Well, damn.
It was not...
Yeah, that's what got me...
It was like one of the last of the old styles of cover mechanic. Like, push into a wall to lean against the wall. Mm-hmm. No, man. Use a button. Yeah. Like, button in the future, we use out. A button. Yeah. Like...
Well played.
Yeah. So, it was pretty solid. It was pretty good. I can't remember what the hell else. I mean,
you don't need to remember what else. They redid the fitness thing from earlier in the day, which of course showed her height as being one thing from that one and one thing from the other one.
Yeah, people were able to compare that she was like two. It was like the same chick who had demoed the product earlier at Microsoft's thing. When it calibrated her height and weight and size and all that, and then accurately represented her as a giant red schmear across the screen.
Somebody had said, this must be what the Predator sees when he goes to a gym.
That was one of the only things, by the way, that I could actually believe was really happening because of the way she was acting and everything. I just was like, boy, this doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
This looks bad, as a matter of fact.
They showed that off. The dude came out with Ubi's version of the vitality sensor, and Joel breathed for a little while to make the little blue thing swim up and down, which was just fucking
Joel annoying. Needs to stop doing that.
He really does. I was like, what are they got?
His own material's pretty good. And, you know, I watch me some soup in Community.
Yeah.
And, like, that's fine, but he doesn't really belong here.
No.
Largely because the next day... He was shown how
it's done.
He was shown how it's done. Like how to be funny during a presentation of video game stuff. He was fucking schooled.
By whom?
Kevin Butler.
Okay.
That motherfucker was funny.
He really was.
I mean, he came out and did his fucking Kevin Butler PS3 shtick. But it was very good. It was very entertaining. I could tell because of the number of times the camera was pointed at Scott.
Did Ubisoft show the Tomb Raider?
No. Okay. No, the other two, seriously, the other two games they showed were, the fucking laser tag game.
Yeah, I missed that.
That's fine. That's totally
actually missed the majority of what was going on. So I had
there
to
was a laser tag game, and then some Michael Jackson dancers came out at the end. I don't know what the fuck that was about. They didn't even really announce a game, but that was pretty much it.
That was another big problem, though, because the Tomb Raider game really should have been announced... in Microsoft's live arcade coverage, of which there was absolutely none. There were a lot of things that should have been covered that were eaten up by motion controls.
Well, I mean, you know, we did our predictions on the show previous, and I mean, you can go back and see how fucking horribly, well, I say horribly wrong.
Well,
maybe how horribly wrong.
In defense
wrong.
Of our own selves, it wasn't necessarily just predictions. It's more about... This is kind of what I'd like to see.
Well, or this is kind of what we expect, or kind of because of the rumblings that were going on. We expected maybe an announcement for Hulu, and that fucking was nowhere.
I'm kind of disappointed about that. You
know, we didn't even get a Dash update announcement. Didn't get expanded on our friends list. I was fucking disappointed.
Again, there are so many different things that it looks like the media mill just could not
get.
It couldn't process. Yeah. Like, motion control ate everything. It isn't just hate of motion control. It's that it ate everything else. All of the things that are annual goodies, the sorts of things we love to hear about every year, nowhere. I mean...
Not to harp on it, but have you seen the Tomb Raider video? Have you seen the other footage?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the way it's going.
Why? No, it's great.
Really?
I've heard nothing but positive things about it.
I played that on the show floor.
Not playing it, just, you know, seeing the video.
Not just now, but people have had hands on it now from time well before.
Comes out next month.
Yeah.
People have had hands on it now for weeks, and they've said, like, this is fucking solid.
Looking one way and, like, having it be a certain
way.
I know you are, and you're not capable of looking at something that's totally fucking different, yet still awesome, because 100,000 fucking people have played it and said,
yeah,
it's awesome.
Like, it just looks different.
It looks different, and I'm not used to things looking different, so I don't know. Like, no, I know that's where you're coming
from. Give it a shot. Try the demo, you know, because it's going to be an arcade.
And I'm not just saying because everybody said that.
The same
like,
reaction to Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah. Like,
Metal Gear Solid Rising.
Oh, yeah.
The point of it is that a lot of people, so many that you're sure to find some respectable news outlet that's actually put their mitts on it, have basically said, shit, this is actually pretty fucking fun.
Okay.
So... Which, by the way, if it's getting such generally positive reviews and impressions around the internet, wouldn't you, I don't know, show it at E3? Hype it as a part of your package that your service can deliver. Fucking, yeah. Who knows? But clearly they don't give a shit about that anyway if you're going to take the measurement of what the Summer of Arcade is. Like, not that great on the whole. So,
maybe, yeah, I can't remember. I only know if the... Ooh, is Hydro Thunder in there?
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm interested in.
What about the Dreamcast games?
That's later. That's
later, yeah.
That's much later this fall. We don't even know about that shit. Well, the Castlevania thing is in there.
Before we get away from Ubi.
Yeah.
Like, remind me old Symphony of the Night. Sorry. I know we're trying to get away from Ubi.
How about, since I mean nobody else has really paid it any attention, but oh boy, Patrice...
Desolets.
Desolets. Basically quitting.
Yeah, quitting.
Now that he's done Assassin's Brotherhood. Creed. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy's got like a real fucking sour face about Brotherhood. He puts that shit on a couple times a day when we start talking about it. Well, because essentially what we were looking at was Assassin's Creed 1. Great gameplay. We all love the story. I mean, if you don't, and whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking don't worry about it because we do and you don't, and that's cool. But. Assassin's Creed 2, totally fucking great, takes a story into awesome places, sets us up for an excellent third chapter. And then Brotherhood goes and pokes its fucking nose in where it frankly wasn't asked for and doesn't belong.
Agreed.
And is trying to gather up a lot of influence for a type of gameplay that nobody... I mean, when they announced it, I was like, you can co-op assassinate people, that sounds really kind of fucking cool. But the more information we've gotten out of that game makes it look like something just totally fucking unwelcome in the whole series. And it looks like... And it looks like the cash machine has demanded that the game's development take another direction.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently after all of that, Patrice is just like, I'm out.
Yep.
I'm done. And that really makes you wonder... What's the state of Assassin's Creed 3?
Very well may screw the pooch for a solid conclusion to the series.
Since he was the creative director.
Yeah.
And maybe the only person who has a good handle on where it was supposed to go.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, it doesn't necessarily bode well. I don't know that we've heard any more information about why he left.
No, there's no
good or bad.
Solid information on why.
Well, he picked a hell of a time to leave. I mean, right.
And the way Ubisoft phrased it was, he's taking a creative break from the industry.
When was that story released?
For him to come
was it
back.
Like Monday of E3 or something?
No, it was before that. It was before E3.
Yeah.
It must have been
2 weeks ago.
Really?
Almost. I know that it was out there before E3. It just wasn't, eating up a lot of cycles.
Huh. Because I only remember hearing about it while I was at E3. I heard just some quick mention.
That was happening before E3. You and I were talking about it the week before E3.
All right.
I mean, it may not be quite 2 weeks old, but it happened before E3. Mm. Maybe like running into the weekend or something.
Yeah, it'd be weird to pitch it as he's taking a break, which seemed to insinuate that like he wanted to leave it open in people's minds that he might be back and be related to the series later. But I don't think somebody ups and quits their job with the intention of coming back later to finish their
I can't imagine stuff, given what has to be the development tempo on that series, which I'm sure is operating like everything else. Yeah. They want it on a 2-year cycle and probably not much more. So it's disappointing.
Yeah.
It's disconcerting. Certainly not happy about it.
No, not at all. So Tuesday. Move on to Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's when Nintendo did theirs.
It was funny because earlier Jeremy and I were trying to schedule out our week, like when we could watch stuff. And I was like, we're not going to fucking bother watching Nintendo.
Right.
Whatever. All the businesses, all of our kind of business is going to
but
be.
But then we actually watched Microsoft's press conference.
And we're like, boy, we really need to watch Nintendo.
Yeah.
It struck me. I mean, I've been perfectly aware of it, but it struck me this year what an ace presenter Reggie really is. Mm-hmm. He is skilled beyond what any... Okay, look. Hire some fucking actors. Okay? Find yourself an actor. A stage actor who likes video games. There are actually a number of them. All right? Give them the information you want them to disseminate. And then put them out there in front of your conference. Because these guys... I know they're the marketing guys, or I know that they're, in some cases, the project managers, or in other cases, they're in charge of, like, some giant goddamn... They're in charge of the, you know, the money bin, or whatever. And you put them out there in front of people who, practically speaking, know more about the industry than they do. Maybe not monetarily, maybe not in terms of marketing, but in what this shit is. You're speaking to a room full of experts. Mm-hmm. You're speaking to a lot of people who fucking know the score. Like, and you're bad at it. You bungle it. You can't get a... You don't understand timing. You don't understand delivery. You don't even really have a... You do have a passion for some level of the industry, but it's on the opposite end of the spectrum from what the guys in the audience feel. And sure as hell as far as way you can get from the guys that are watching online or on their TVs. You need to make better connections with them. And almost to a man or a woman, these executives are incapable of doing that. It's okay to hire people who are better at it. I don't believe you anymore just because you're the vice president of some division of the company. As a matter of fact, I think you're as prone to lying as an actor.
That's going to give me more distrust than anything else.
So hire somebody that can at least present. But in the field of all of this stuff, Reggie stands abso-fucking-lutely alone. The man knows how to talk to a group of people.
That dude's intimidating.
He knows how to take full ownership of all of the facts at his disposal and deliver them. In years past, it's been bullshit facts that nobody cared about. I don't care about your charts and stuff. But this year was absolute proof of like what that motherfucker can do if you give him information I care about.
They also didn't bring out that chick that they brought out for the past 2 years. Cammy, I think is her name or something.
Whatever.
Yeah, they didn't bring her out. Like her day is done.
Yeah, no, like that dude knows how to fucking talk to people.
Yeah.
And if you give him the right script, if you give him the right things to say, he knows how to talk to gamers. And
he's always just seemed kind of eager or just like, you know, he enjoys what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he puts that out.
Yeah. Into it. He's invested in it.
Yeah.
And he believes in it. But the big difference between this year and every other year is that Nintendo got out there and talked about games.
Yeah.
He did a little bit of the sorts of things we haven't liked seeing from previous years. But really, from start to finish... Nintendo talked about fucking video games, man.
They didn't have a gimmick to push this year.
Well, they have 3D.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But they are... Here's the thing. 3D's a fucking gimmick, but they didn't treat it like one. They were very respectful of their own shit, and they didn't treat their own shit like a gimmick. And in previous years, they have. They were serious about their numbers and their figures. They were serious about how they felt about their own position in the market, and then they treated their own shit like a gimmick. This year they took that shit seriously, and they took my concern about it seriously, and boom, there was a fucking connection between him and every person who was watching. Like, how many new fucking video games did they announce?
Like eight? Maybe more than that, probably.
And they, like, demoed the new technology and put it right in your fucking hands and said, check it out. It's tied to a, you know, prostitute, but give it a spin.
It was actually
even if it's only a 30-second spin.
I was like, which one do I go up to?
Yeah,
because there was a shit. They all looked the same anyway. There's shit. I kind of felt bad as I packed. They were like, just pick one. And I said, okay. I didn't know which way to go, and I kind of felt bad when I skipped over one. They probably didn't give a shit. They were probably thanks for skipping me because I don't want to fucking look at you while you're looking at this fucking thing.
But no, they got out there and it was like, game this motherfucking game over here. And like, look at this game. And boy, isn't this kind of cool because it's a game. And here's the new system.
Fantastic.
You should seriously go look.
Yeah, I thought it looked great. It reminded me of old old school Zelda.
We got a tweet from Senator Spacer that says, when was the last time Zelda game came up on stage and was the least interesting thing in a Nintendo presser?
Tuesday.
That was the only thing I saw, was the Zelda game.
It looks like shit, dude.
Because it reminded me of...
No, it looks like shit. Look, like, go find screenshots of this shit it reminds you of.
It reminded me like a 3D version of like the feel of Link to the Past.
Get the fuck out of this Really? What? Yeah.
You are out of your fucking mind.
Older looking.
No,
than,
fuck you. It looked like a slightly better version of Ocarina of Time.
They didn't
look anything
other
like
than the motion controls. That was it. They didn't show you anything.
I was gonna say you didn't have any way to judge that shit. You don't know a story.
It looked like greasy ass, low res, empty fucking skybox filled with this stupid fucking flower. It looked like the same bullshit from Ocarina of Time. And I know a lot of people like that sort of stuff. It looked like a lot of the dungeon rooms from Wind Waker, which were the worst part of Wind Waker. Like, shit didn't look nothing like Link to the Past, man. It wasn't reminiscent in terms of gameplay. It sure as hell wasn't in terms of art design. Like, dude, you are treading in the holy of holies when you talk about Link to the Past.
Oh, it's my favorite one.
Yes, it's my favorite one, too. I don't fucking blaspheme by pretending that this shit should be... What the fuck, dude?
Maybe it's the Texas heat. I don't know. But, I mean, for me, the little video that I saw, I was like, it looks interesting. I mean, it looks cool.
Did you see the video of where it didn't work at all? That was pretty...
You didn't see that? What video did you see?
You're making this up, aren't you?
You must have seen something else that was
he
labeled.
He watched the trailer from The Dark World.
Yeah.
You had to have, dude, because that was like the biggest thing was the fact that it didn't work. When fucking...
For Miyamoto.
Yeah, Miyamoto was up on stage and it wasn't working for him.
No way.
He kept trying to slash the shit and it like wouldn't slash.
You could see the frustration. Like you could see really the frustration, but he was sweating.
Hit the thing with his shield to bounce the projectile back and he kept fucking it up and it wouldn't work for him.
There was a guy translating him, but if there was somebody who was really translating, he was probably swearing and cussing up and down about that shit not working.
They tried to blame that shit on everything. Like I've heard... wireless interference from all the shit in the room to IR interference from all the shit in the room. But man, he didn't have IR has nothing to do with like the motion control stuff he was doing. So that's not it. And if it had been wireless interference, man, he didn't have any problem running around and jumping. That shit was fine. It was all the motion control stuff that was fucked up.
I mean, I don't care about that stuff anyway. Yeah. But the problem is it looked like just another okay, well, here's a Zelda that's been designed around the concept of a world with Wii Motion Plus. So this is going to be good. And again, it was just like, you fucking shake your, have a spasm in front of the TV and there you're playing Zelda. So it was like...
I mean, I get it, Wii Motion Plus, I can use my supposedly swing my sword in whichever direction I am with my hand. Fine. How about showing me why I should be interested in the Zelda game? I already know I can do that. I know how Wii Motion Plus works. Mm-hmm. That you've applied it to Zelda is a no-brainer. I know you're going to apply it to Zelda.
But they gave no
show
background.
Show me the fucking game.
They gave no background. They really showed
you
nothing.
He fucking cut it a goddamn flower. That's it. And
they cut the grass, too.
And not well. He didn't do anything different than that.
The video I saw was like all game... gameplay footage.
It was gameplay footage, but it was this one stupid area.
You must have seen a prepackaged thing.
It must have been
released after the whole thing.
There were other videos after that, but that wasn't gameplay. And in all fairness, I mean, I don't know. Did you put hands on it?
No. I had
right up there at the front of the thing.
It was either that or it was go to the DS, and I went to the DS because I had to get on a bus to get over to Sony's.
Fucking killing me. A lot of people said they put their hand like the game. The point is that some people went and played it and said, no, it still works okay and it's fine. And if you already liked that style of Zelda, then I'm sure it was fine. I just have not liked that style of Zelda in a very, very long time. And this looks a lot like the style that I have hated. I loved Wind Waker. I loved Link to the Past. And I haven't really seen a design philosophy for Zelda that I cared about in a while. But his comment is exactly correct. It was the least interesting thing by far that Nintendo did by leagues.
I even love what they did with Kirby.
Man, that was badass.
I thought Kirby was pretty goddamn good. Jeremy and I were looking at the videos.
Kirby reminds me of the first time I saw Paper Mario.
Yeah, whenever it that's exactly what it does.
Took an idea and kind of made it reality in a way that I could never, that made sense, but something I never could have thought of before.
I thought it looked lovely. It was, the motion gimmick was actually just perfectly woven into the whole thing. It looked good, and it—I mean, you know—I want to say it looked tight, but whatever. I didn't actually see it. The art design was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the little gimmicks, some of the little the motion hooks were kind of fun. I was like, ah, see, the thing he did, that was fun. I liked looking at that. It made me happy inside. I would like to play that video game. You know, like yeah, that man. Kept happening. So I really, really liked that Kirby stuff. I am not within 1,000 years of the possibility of buying a 3DS. I'm done buying their fucking handhelds.
Yeah.
Was Kirby on the DS or was that the Wii?
No, Kirby was on the Wii. Okay, I'm just looking at their conference as a whole.
The XL just came out, not that long.
I think we even had do we have a tweet to this effect? Like,
as far as
the development of the handheld consoles.
Oh yeah, Iron Pass says that I think Nintendo may be taking a step back from touch controls with the 3DS, with the screen relegated to secondary functions. Am I the only one who thinks 3DS gives the wrong impression of focus and capabilities? It sounds like an offshoot, not a successor.
Yeah, see, I agree completely. I think we've been operating in offshoot territory for quite a while. It feels a little bit like a successor because it's reportedly a much beefier system under the hood. Because looking at some of what it was able to do, some of what people were saying that it was actually doing, videos of the games, it's like, that's, we're in like, I don't know, Dreamcast territory with some of this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With what it's able to process and deliver graphically.
Yeah. Some of that stuff looked really good.
Really yummy with like 3D processing on top of that. Like it was...
The Kid Icarus game?
Yeah, that looks really, really solid. I mean, clearly, the effect itself seems kind of charming to me at a remove because, and yes, I know, Dark Lord James asks, did we not know that the 3DS didn't use glasses?
No,
because it was common
didn't.
Knowledge. Well, here's the thing. I understand that there are things that are common knowledge, but when they're really presented for weeks and weeks and weeks on end as rumor tagged things.
Yeah.
I can't invest in that stuff as fact anymore. I've had the rug pulled out from under me too many times. I just don't consider it a reality. Like, yes, okay, we all know that it's theoretically possible if they do like this type of thing and this type of thing, and there's maybe some stuff we haven't considered, but at the same time, wouldn't it be easier for them to just be like, here, wear some fucking glasses, kid?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's what everybody else is doing. Sony's doing that and then charging you how much for it? Because they didn't talk about how much the glasses were.
No, they didn't talk about anything.
Because them shits are shutter glasses.
They're shutter glasses?
Yeah, for the
Sony
thing.
Fuck shutter glasses, man.
Shit's pretty fucking serious.
Well,
Sony wants you to have some money.
The glasses they gave us, it was a theater presentation, so we got the same glasses that you get when you go to a movie theater.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't really, I mean, there's so much, they didn't touch on their 3D as much as they did. It was the first fucking thing they talked about at their press conference. But
well,
you know,
regardless, Nintendo put the fucking system in your hand.
Well, I don't.
Even if you looked at a video on the internet,
I was wondering how does that look on the internet.
The problem is you can't read it. It either looks like a blurry 3D image that you're not seeing, like that you have your glasses off, or you see nothing. What's fun though is if you catch a video where somebody actually like twiddles the knob, and you can actually watch the image separate and then collapse, that gives you a better understanding of what's happening with the image.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a video of somebody doing that, and we were like, "Oh, okay, like I get it."
That's exactly what I did when I got it.
As long as you put the screen in your sweet spot, you know, it's still stereoscopic 3D. It has to be at the right focal length.
I tried to see it. I tried to figure out. I put the 3D up to full, you know, full blast or whatever, and was getting the effect. And then I would try to tilt the DS a little bit to see if it worked.
What the viewing angle was?
Like the viewing angle, but every time I tried to tilt it, the motion, the gyroscope, I think there's a gyroscope in it, fucking flickered that screen to death when I was doing that. Yeah. Oh. So I didn't know if maybe that's just, maybe I was doing it too hard. Maybe I didn't know what I was doing wrong with it, but I said, well obviously.
The speculation is that the 3D and any motion, motion-based gaming is just incompatible.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, not on a technical level, but on an optical level.
Mm.
If you have to move the system around in order to activate motion gaming,
loses the effect.
Then you're obviously going to disturb the effect.
Mm. I'm curious how that effect is made. I'm really, I don't know how that's.
I think it's probably not that complicated. I just think it's a.
It probably isn't. It gives off a sense of. Stereoscopic. Yeah. But in a sense of, you know, those fucking cards you'd get in like a Cracker Jack box or some bullshit like that that has the ridges in it, and of course you can tilt the picture.
The little 3D holographic cards.
Yeah.
Not lenographs.
Lenticular. Lenticular. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
Because it gives off this effect of. It doesn't necessarily seem that things jump out at you, but it does.
That it has depth.
It gives an amazing. Yeah, it gives an amazing sense of depth.
That's actually the right decision to make. Because if they were trying to get it to leap off the screen, then it would constantly be clipped by the borders of the screen,
which is a huge problem
with 3D.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with 3D movies. Like, I'd rather go back. My brain rejects the idea of anything being in front of the screen.
Yeah.
Like. It just doesn't work for me.
I think it's a harder trick to pull in the eye.
It really is.
Our eye is already good at creating depth where it doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
using shadow and perspective and all of these other things. Like our eye, that's why flat images work so well. So you want to continue that sort of trend and that tendency of the eye. It's a perfect fucking decision. It looks a hell of a lot less gimmicky than I thought it would be. And like I said, they treat their own gimmicks this year much more seriously. They've taken themselves more seriously. Very early on, I was kind of done with the concept of somebody winning this year.
And Ravenlock seems to think Nintendo won E3.
Well, but I mean, he's absolutely right. If you actually want to have the discussion, it really was Nintendo. They released a lot of fucking video games. They also released some ingenious technology. Like, I mean, 3D itself is not ingenious, but to be able to pack it into a little handheld mm-hmm. and have so many people coming away after hands-on time, utterly convinced that, yeah, this is brilliant.
And they did announce Ocarina of Time for the 3DS. I mean, the 3DS, right?
I don't remember hearing that.
Am I just making shit up again?
I don't know.
They announced Kid Icarus for the 3DS.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of stuff.
And they announced.
Did they? I thought they did announce something Zelda for the 3DS. You might be right about that, but I don't remember what it was.
They announced another Mario Sports Pack for the Wii. It was a Mario Sports Mix, GoldenEye,
which looked is a slightly more than slightly bastardized version of GoldenEye, but still pretty goddamn close to what it was before. I don't know. I just don't know if that's going to gain any traction or not.
Yeah.
I loved GoldenEye.
But, you know, you love GoldenEye. I love, you know, old, you know, scum games. Sometimes you just got to leave things in the past.
Yeah, I just don't know that this is the
right... Shut up, y'all.
I just don't know that this is the right way to do it. That's my... When the idea was maybe it'll come to Xbox Live.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we can do four-player over live. Yeah. That's really good. But these guys are reinvigorating the whole... Four-player split-screen thing at the same time, and that's not a world I want to revisit. That's not something I care to do.
Huge screens that you want just for you.
Yeah, that's not what I want.
And Donkey Kong Country,
which looked
returns
fine, I guess.
I was happy with it. I was like, hey, it's like playing the SNES again.
I guess if you want to do that,
that's what it looked like to me.
Depends on what you're playing.
Yeah.
Well, it was the same guys that did Metroid. And they showed Metroid Other M as well,
but like I expected more from them than what I saw with the Donkey Kong Country trailer. Like they did some really innovative, interesting stuff.
Oh, I mean, well, they made
the
it,
Metroid.
They made it first person.
Yeah, I mean they took it an entirely. It was somewhere it had never been before.
Yeah, really.
Like, I don't see anything remotely like that in Donkey Kong, other than just you know, and that's fine. Like if. You know, it was good stuff, but
Ravenlock says that I have to admit, while I had no interest in the DSi, the 3DS probably sells me. Yeah, 3D is a gimmick, no doubt, but the hands-on reports I've read in this case say it's a really solid gimmick.
Yeah. Well, then that elevates it. If it actually happens and works the way it's supposed to, then it gets to be elevated. It gets to not be a gimmick anymore. Although, again, the price would have been nice. I mean, I know that they haven't necessarily firmed it up, but we don't have a release date for this piece of hardware yet, right?
We've heard March of next year.
So that's enough lead time for them to get away without actually talking about price. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more irritated by the guys that apparently have tech coming out, you know, in a number of months that I can count on one hand.
Right, yeah.
And I still know less about their shit, about the actual efficacy of their technology, than I do about some shit that isn't going to be here for a year.
Yeah.
So that's perfectly fine. But again, I can't even imagine being able to deliver this to market at less than $200. You know? Maybe they can, but it's a lot of system, you know? It's doing a lot of interesting shit.
I haven't bought a DS since the Light, and yeah. I actually got rid of my Light. You know, I've only got a Fat right now, so this kind of gets me interested again.
I think likely we'll see just a drop, you know, you'll see... I think we'll see it under $200. This is just complete speculation. It'll be under $200, and the prices on the other models will drop a little bit.
Yeah, but
by that time.
Yeah, but they haven't pulled an Apple with this, man. They don't always have a top end that enters at this price range, and then everything drops.
That's true.
The top end has always entered at a slightly higher
price.
I mean, what was the DSi? DSi was 180.
Yeah, the DSi was 180,
compare
but that
the DSi,
was...
Just, but compare it to what this is going to have to be when it launches. Mm-hmm. The technology invested in this thing is significant. Well beyond what the DSi is.
I still think it'll be under 200. I really think it'll be under 200. But I think...
I think
that's just my brain saying, there's no way they can put that over $200. A handheld over that much.
I think they can easily price it over.
You know, the PSP, they did that. The PSP was... God, 250, I think?
Yeah.
Well, and the PSP doesn't command anything like the sort of money-printing loyalty that the DS does.
Yeah.
And if... Dude, look. We are some of the most unnecessarily ill-tempered people in the world. We hate Nintendo press conferences. These people have... ruined hours of our lives over the courses of many years, showing us fucking bullshit we don't care about. We're jaded, some of us. We're totally cynical, others of us, to unnecessary and unprecedented degrees. I haven't heard anybody who has had that in their hands come away and say anything less than holy shit, that was fucking great.
Yeah.
If they can sell us,
then they
fucking sell us on this shit.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, dude, they're gonna sell everybody on that shit. Because it doesn't require glasses. Because maybe they have de-emphasized the stylus control. And maybe this really is the kind of thing that, you know, people can agree to spend $200.
If you haven't seen it, as soon as you hear your local store having a kiosk set up,
yep,
that you can go test it out.
It'll be next
year.
There is
a small caveat that that Reggie mentioned recently. Is that children under 7 should not play 3D games.
Because their eyes are still developing. Yeah, sorry, we're in America. We're not going to listen to that shit.
Yeah, really, no. We'll put it in their hands when they're 3.
We haven't talked about Epic Mickey yet, though.
Oh, that's right. They did show off Epic Mickey.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Which one?
Epic Mickey. Oh.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the videos of that?
No, but I've seen some screenshots from, like, a while back.
But see, then you're not equipped for this argument, because the whole thing is about...
actually seeing it in action.
That argument's fucking old. They released the concept art, which was brilliant.
The concept art was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
And then the game art didn't match it at all. It looked like shit.
And then we're like, well, this is kind of bullshit. I'm disappointed.
I had long since written it off. But again, in the midst of all the things we were looking at.
See that shit in action, I'm like, man, that actually looks like a lot of fun to do.
And they didn't turn me around on it, but... and I didn't see it in person. Did you get a chance to see it in person? Was it being shown in person?
It was only shown, it was not playable. You could not play it on the show floor.
All I know is that seeing the videos they produced, I was like,
double take?
Not a huge deal, but just like, this is far nicer than what I remember seeing before.
Mm-hmm.
And this sells itself much better in motion than it did
in a collection of dodgy stills and Game Informer. This is the frame rate it was running at was really nice. It was awfully colorful. I don't think that the live played demo on stage was especially good, because I think that they have a, just like they have a tendency to put the wrong people up as presenters, they have the tendency to put the wrong people up as players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People who just aren't very good at playing.
That, or the guy was told specifically, only do these
things. Only do these exact things.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work out well. But the frame rates were good. The colors were really nice. The images seemed awfully sharp. And I could sort of get behind the idea of what he was doing. All they did was they showed kind of one game activity area, and he walked around and fucking paintbrushed, and then
that was like a hub or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, some stuff. Because
then he went into like a 2D side scroller.
Well, but if you remember from the article a million and a half years ago, the 2D side scrollers are the transition areas between worlds.
Okay,
he jumps back into the old 2D film areas, mm-hmm. because it's all like he's playing his way through a film strip, through a segment of film, and he kind of did a little side scrolling platforming bit through the Steamboat Willie section, and you know it was good. He was doing a shitty job of playing through it, but again, it looked a hell of a lot more solid than I ever gave it credit for.
All
right. And although it sold itself better than it ever has before. They've clearly gone completely bass-ackwards on how to convince me that this is a good game. But, you know, it's still not the concept art. I mean, we'll never get that. But I was willing to like it. And I hadn't been before. I thought that was really neat. Yet another reason why you come out of the Nintendo conference and you're like, holy shit, this is sort of like what E3 is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. I dug it. I thought they did a really good job all the way around. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, everybody at least got a few seconds in front of one of the 3DSs because they brought out a procession of...
There's a ton of them, but it was these still images, basically.
Well, they weren't still images.
Well,
you said that earlier. It's misrepresentative.
Yeah, it's
still scenes.
Yeah, I guess
3D things in the game that you can kind of tilt around and look at and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you demonstrate. Can move the thumb nub and it would it wouldn't do a full 360
rotation
around it.
Yeah.
It just kind of leaned to the left, leaned to the right. You could look a little bit above it, a little bit below it. That's
okay,
sort of
just
thing.
Like you're looking through a window. Into it. You're not actually going to go all the way around.
Yeah, which is why with the nub, which is why I tried to do the effect with just tilting the screen to see if it still gave off that same thing, and of course the gyroscope in it made it wonky, but yeah, it was just a selection of those. You couldn't tell it on like the 3D models. Like they had one where Mario was standing next to Luigi was standing next to Bowser, and you could rotate a little bit and see what was going on. They had a couple of those like that, but the real one was the Pikmin shot. Because as soon as I turned it off, I was like, okay, but when I turned it immediately back on, that's when I could tell that, holy shit, that was when I was like, wow, came out of my mouth after seeing that, because the screen completely went back. It showed that field of depth with the blades of grass being in front and the little Pikmin being on the bottom, that sort of thing. And you could turn that, you know, you could a little bit lean around that image a little bit with the nub. But just that depth was so well represented with that image that it showed. And so that's what I got to see. So there were some reports of Star Fox being played on the show floor with the 3D.
Ah, yes, that was one of the others.
Yeah.
Star Fox 64 on the
Star
on
Fox,
the
3DS. Yeah, Star Fox 64.
Which, yeah, you know, a lot of people loved that. I had more fun with the classic Star Fox, but I mean, whatever. By the way, I could stand, you know, another Star Fox game like any minute now, where I'm actually flying the fucking R-Wing.
Yeah.
And not shooting missiles in a jungle or whatever the fuck.
Hobo sticking.
Yeah. God damn it. Fucking travesty that shit was.
For whatever reason. Yeah.
But no, good stuff, man. Nintendo gave us a good time on Tuesday. And then it was right off to Sony, yeah?
And then it was right off to Sony.
Which was... Jeremy and I did watch that one live.
Yes.
That one we actually got to see live, and I was really tired after that press conference.
It was too long.
It was a full 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, it went, yeah.
Yeah, it was a full 2 hours, and they vacillated, like
they spent too much time showing commercials.
Violently, yeah. So much of their presentation was commercials for their own shit. It wasn't it just wasn't like a good trailer or just a solid presentation about an idea. They literally would just show you a commercial. And it was like, nah, you guys are failing. And then they would kind of drive to the other end and show you a video game. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm seeing a game, you know? The thing with Sorcery. And it was Sorcery, whatever the fuck that game's called. Like, whatever, dude. Potion drinking games. Like,
what did they show? What did they show when they showed Killzone, that big chunk of Killzone 3 in 3D? Did they just show? Did they show that? Just, you know, whatever.
During, they just showed.
They just showed the game. Okay. The same thing you saw, just not.
Right. 3D. Well, I didn't know if it was just if they switched to something else and just said that this 3D effect requires
glasses or something. No. What they did was, they just. They didn't show coverage of the screen. Mm-hmm. They just played the video.
The 3D looked, you know, the 3D looked good as far as what I was seeing.
Oh, you were watching the theater.
But I was watching in the theater.
You weren't actually watching a 3D television playing a 3D video.
I will say the only thing that really stood out from all the other I mean, it was 3D just like you'd be watching in a movie as far as that was concerned, because I was watching it on a theater screen, but the ones that really was a holy shit, that's 3D for me, and you'll like this, RJ, was the baseball game, MLB The Show. Mm-hmm. Fucking ball, man. That ball just being pitched or being hit. Whenever they had that ball center screen moving out of the stadium or towards the batter or whatever, that was really good. That's when the effect really worked.
Was the detail like you could see every individual stitch on the ball?
Oh, no, it wasn't like that, but it did feel like it was separated from the screen. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was, again, it goes back to that depth issue. Yeah. It felt like the ball was out in front and everything was in back, just, you know, like it was right out there. The other stuff had just that whole, it's 3D, but it doesn't really feel like it's out in front of you type effect. Mm-hmm. You know, it does give that sense that there's a little bit of depth. It looks like the gun that I'm holding in first person shooter, is actually separate from the rest of the screen, yeah, type of thing. But it really didn't give in that in-your-face effect until they showed that just some of those quick clips from MLB.
Yeah, so which was awesome. Focus on the ball, like you're supposed
to. Oh my god, that was great! That was great. So, but I mean, you know, this is 3D tech. You're going to need a brand new TV, mm-hmm, that supports it.
Sony wants you to be rich right now.
Yeah.
to cover all of the bases,
well,
you need to have a lot of fucking money right now. It'll
help make them rich too.
Do what?
If you're rich, it'll help make them rich too.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
they're just broke.
Shit, dude. Like, it was one thing to ask the entire gaming population to reinvest in a TV at a time when we switched from, you know, SD to HD. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we're still kind of in the middle of doing that.
Yeah.
You know, as a larger group of people. And now you want me to reinvest in another piece of technology when my suspicion is that technology isn't done being refined? Yeah. You want me to be an early adopter before the previous early adopters are even ready to upgrade? Like, this is fail. Then you want me to buy shutter glasses? Like, no, this is not happening. I am not investing in your 3D revolution right now. I can't afford it.
I've only had HD for like 1 year myself.
Yeah, like, Your motion stuff, you're still in a place where you might be able to sell me on it if you give me more things that I can, that just strike me as being the sort of thing I would find fun. You have a chance to grab me still, but not on the 3D stuff. There's just, you're so far from being able to sell such an expensive idea. Even though, and it's funny, I know how 3D works. You don't even have to you don't have to teach me your concept, but you got to deliver it for something less than what you're asking right now. Also, fuck your glasses. I think I've said that before.
I don't. Clearly, I'm sure there's a very good reason why that somebody could explain at some point to me, but I don't understand why you have to have a particular type of TV for fucking shutter glasses.
I don't know.
The Master System had shutter glasses.
Yeah.
So,
I really don't know. And I actually want to say that There either hasn't been much reporting, much examination, or much dissemination.
Yeah.
Like, somebody isn't getting the word out about what that tech is about. Fuck, we might have... Probably just have to go across the street and talk to the fucking Best Buy dude who's going to try to sell it to me just to get any information out of it. Because you don't really see it being talked about elsewhere.
So yeah, it was the 3D stuff they opened with first. Then it was, I guess they moved into the Move type.
They were all over the map, man. They went kind of back and forth about a lot of stuff because there were periods. Well, no, of time where
you're right. It was the 3D stuff, and then for whatever reason, they showed us all those characters in that one place. Heroes of something.
That I didn't like that.
Yeah, and then the Sly Cooper series.
See, that looked pretty assy, and that was clearly being based on some of the Move stuff. And
yeah,
man, this looks like shit. This looks like a waggle game.
Yeah, and then they went into the Move, so it was. Yeah, you're right. It was like here's games, here's product, here's games, here's product, here's games, here's product.
And it was all over the fucking place.
They only showed us two Move games. They only showed the golf and the sorcery. That was it.
Yeah. Well, it was the only stuff they actually showed being played. Yeah.
Except for their little demo reel when they show, you know, some dude swinging a sword, some dude firing a, you know, bow and arrow, that sort of thing.
Which was...
Didn't even show off SOCOM, which is what they showed off at GDC.
They did announce that Dead Space 2 would have...
That was actually kind of fun, the Dead Space 2 Special Edition.
Yeah. I'll pick that up.
I know you had to be thinking about that. When I saw that, I was like, we're going to finally beat that fucking game.
Because I thought about it, and I thought...
it includes Extraction.
Updated. And
updated to HD and to work with the Move
control. The Move control. Which, I mean, I understand that you can probably play Extraction with an Xbox 360 controller. I understand that you can probably do that.
I guess. I don't know, man. That game would need serious... It would really need to re-examine how it works. It needs a
major overhaul. But this is what I was talking. I don't know who I was talking to. Probably the guy sitting next to me, or no, it was back at the hotel room with the guys who went, and we were talking about Extraction. I was like, that lends itself so much better to be with the Move, considering you have a controller.
Yeah.
Whereas Kinect, if they want to use it somehow with Kinect, it doesn't recognize. Kinect only recognizes big lump movement.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can, you know, argue my fingers are big
gross
lumps.
Gross motor, no fine motor.
Yeah. So it's stuff. Like, I can't just point as a gun towards the screen and pull my thumb or finger or whatever. It's not going to recognize that. So that game itself, that there's something right there that just lends itself so much better on the PS3.
Yeah.
Than it is, obviously started on the Wii, but still, when you come back to that, to where online is good, PS3 or 360. Oh fuck! They also announced the Plus. I forgot about that PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, that was a little. That was awkward.
That was another product thing they threw at you.
It was an update.
The pay service.
What do you think about that, RJ? You use PlayStation Network more than any of us here.
Yeah,
because it's your only means. What did you think about that announcement?
Well, it depends on what they're going to really offer with it. I mean, for the gold account on Xbox, for instance, I mean, you got to pay to get a. Online play with other players, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's part of what gold is. Mm-hmm. You know?
Multiplayer.
Gold is access, man.
Yeah.
That's all gold is.
Okay.
Gold is a pass to get to a place where you can buy other shit. None of us like it, but I mean, if you buy live card, I mean, you can spend more than $40 a year, like. So it's $40 that we all kind of swallow because Microsoft is absolutely married to that service. But you don't get anything else with it. There is no... You don't get anything for free with Live. They'll try to say that you do, but you don't.
That's how it was pitched way back in the day.
Yeah, it's never really been... It's always been bullshit.
In fact, that's how it was used kind of way back in the day. Very first when it was like... When they really wanted to basically bring more people over to gold status.
Mm-hmm.
You know, golds would get stuff for free or earlier than it would for the silver members or that sort of thing. Now it's just, you know, they don't even try that scheme anymore. This is how it is.
Except you get online and play games.
Gold or GTFO?
Bingo.
But the thing, so I'm just trying to figure out if it's going to be like mandatory.
No,
it's absolutely not going to be mandatory.
As long as it stays that way, I'm pretty much fine with it. I mean, it's optional to me, but I want to get it.
But the question is, are you at all sold on what they're trying to sell you?
Sounds like you're taking a wait and see approach.
I'm doing that a lot lately, to be honest with you, on everything nowadays. I mean, it would take pretty much a lot to get me to go bought.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think it's taken them too long. To do this, they should have introduced a pay service a long time ago so that they would, instead of developing their free service further and further and further like they have, they've revamped it a couple of times and they've turned it into something, you know,
moderately interesting and useful, not nearly what I mean, okay, say what you want. You have a free service and you have a pay service. One of them works and has worked for a very long time now. One of them kind of doesn't really work, not nearly as well as the other one has. And this is after years of refinement. So whether the argument that the pay service actually has a means of self-support and self-maintenance through that pay, whether that holds water at all, I don't know. I don't know where that money's going. Nobody knows where the money's going. Not really. Microsoft does, but we don't know how those services are maintained, how the back end is maintained. So all I know is that the free service, which has been free forever without any pay counterpart, has never really worked 100%, not up to other standards. So they can't just come along now and say, we're going to truncate the free service and move a bunch of shit over to the pay service, and then it's all going to be great.
They really had to be careful with how they were going to.
Yeah, they couldn't do that. Everything that they're offering with the plus service has to be above and beyond what's already there.
Which one of those things is cross game chat?
Yeah, which it's not. I'm not opposed to the idea of paying for a service. I am opposed to trying to muscle in on your own free business with a pay service. You know, that's not really good. It doesn't look like that's what they're trying to do, but the incentives for Plus don't look very they're not very enticing.
Yeah.
I'm not very interested. A lot of people were comparing it to Core. It was just like a slightly flashier Core subscription. And okay, I'm going to get free play of a certain game for a month, and I'm going to get, you know, access to all this like other shit that other people don't have for a month. That's really good, but until you start attaching titles to that, like, is the game that I'm going to get to play for free this month
anything good?
Something that isn't any good.
Well, they even mentioned that DLC, some of the DLC
for games will be free. That's right.
Interesting part about that is you download that DLC when it's free, and then you cancel your subscription to PlayStation Plus, that DLC's gone.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's only as good as long as your subscription.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not crazy about that.
Welcome to that's the new way of doing business. It's just that it's how it is, man. Like, the future is subscription-based for a lot of things. And there's a lot of people who fucking hate that so much. And I kind of don't blame them. I think that once the business model changes a little more and it isn't just subscriptions on top of having to pay a bunch of horse shit, like... Because if the whole future looked like OnLive...
Oh, Jesus.
Then I'd absolutely, like, take a shit all over the whole prospect. Where I had to buy the thing and subscribe to the thing.
They were there, and I'm sorry I didn't
go. And then I lose it.
I didn't go to their booth.
And then you lose it when they're
yeah. I didn't go. I walked by it. I just didn't go in there and mess with any
of that stuff. Oh, my God. You should have gone in there and absolutely just given them hell.
She treated him like we treated that Fox Interactive guy with his FMV X-Files game back in 99?
Just to make
8, I think.
It does feel better. Yeah, it was 98.
Yeah. But it's FMV 2.0.
Yeah,
it's better. No, man. FMV games suck. Yeah. No, it's... No.
They suck.
They suck.
You're selling suck. Yeah, so I don't... I mean, whatever, dude. Like... They're still trying to figure it out. The concept of the service is fine. The existence of the service is fine. They were even very gracious, or not gracious, but they were very honest and said, we're not fucking with the existing service. This is all over and above and beyond.
They said everything you can do right now on the PlayStation Network,
you'll be able to do.
You will still be able to do without paying any price.
They just need to convince me that the incentives are worth it.
And in fact, they didn't seem like they were really pushing it.
Yeah.
From just because it wasn't a very long little mention. It was like, here it is, here's the pricing structure, here's what you get. Let's move on. They really didn't stick with it very much. So I don't know what that's all about. It just even they didn't seem like they were excited about it. So they moved on, and from there they talked about PSP stuff.
Which God, fucking Christ, man. I tried to stay awake during that.
Yeah. It basically was just a God of War trailer, and that was about it. They really didn't talk much about the PSP. And fuck, they even talked about the PS2. You know, still saying that, that's still doing it, you know, great sales and that sort of thing. What came after that?
I don't know.
Was that when Gabe came out?
I think, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, I can't track the progress of that thing in my memory. It yeah. didn't work it right. So it was like
all over the place.
It was like a fever dream.
Yeah.
Well, you know? We'll get to. I figure Gabe's little mention there sure, for sure, the sure. PS3 is the big one. We'll just hit the Twisted Metal reveal.
That was
the
last
end,
thing that they did,
which was odd. I was like, that didn't. I don't know. It doesn't. Twisted Metal doesn't really appeal.
You didn't have a PlayStation.
No, I didn't.
You didn't
I
have
didn't.
A PS1.
I played.
I had a PS1 in 90. I don't know.
The last
when Twisted
Metal
was fucking.
Yeah.
No, that was before I had one, and I played a lot of fucking Twisted Metal at people's houses. I mean, a lot of Twisted Metal. I played that shit, and that shit was like fucking serious as a heart attack, advanced, fucking next generation.
So then what did you feel when they announced this Twisted Metal for whatever?
It was sad as fuck. Something about
Twisted Metal.
Cupping that tiger's bowl.
Skills! Stop it, Skittles! Stop it!
Did you see that at all? The Connectables
no.
thing?
No.
Oh, fucking Christ.
It wasn't LucasArts or something he'd already decided
Dude, whoever,
he was interested in. He
man,
didn't
whoever
watch the
fucking designed that sequence.
Did you watch the trailer?
Like dirty memes.
Did you watch the trailer for? Did you watch the trailer for the Star Wars Kinect?
Star Wars Kinect? No.
The Kinect game for Star with Star Wars.
No.
That's the one where they were like hitting them on the head with. The
oh, it was dreadful.
Baseball
it was
bat
absolutely
lightsabers.
Like. You don't even know. Like, when I say dreadful and then you have a picture in your mind, it's like a million times worse than that. And then that picture, you're still not there. It was one of the most disgusting looking things I've ever seen in my life.
The only thing Star Wars...
So is the Star Wars thing. He was talking about connectables. Yeah.
The only thing Star Wars I saw was the Force Unleashed 2. I saw a little bit of
which
that.
Which fucking... God, how the just, hell you know, make that boring? Yeah. I don't know.
That and the Cinematic Hope trailer for...
Yeah, no, this was all like... This was sort of a linear rail like arcade actiony thing that
was on rails pretty much.
Oh god, it was horrible. But
swing
like
your sword
not,
and force
but
push.
I mean it was just don't worry about it.
Is it Old Republic time frame or
who could
oh my
no,
god.
No, no, no. It wasn't.
I forgot how much
it was
fan
like,
you are.
No, it was
it didn't
was
even
really
matter
awesome.
To me.
It was really awesome because you were fighting stormtroopers okay. and droids. Yeah, figure that shit out. Stick that in your continuity pipe and smoke it.
Now, if it was clone troopers, then... You know,
right. Oh, boy, here we go.
I didn't mean it. I was joking. It's just something you should do at home on your own time.
Yeah, no, like seriously.
Maybe Order 66 at time.
I'm just saying, there's certain things that I see, like that, for instance, and a time frame of where this falls into continuity doesn't enter my mind.
Right. The fact that it played like an ugly sack of monkey shit is what should bother me. But no, I care about the continuity. I am a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. But anyway, we were talking about Twisted Metal. I was glad that you, as someone who was faithful to the series back when...
Well, because it was fun back then.
Felt no, but I'm glad you felt the same way that I felt, not having any history
with
it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked that they displayed it, and they spent so much time talking about what it really was.
Yeah, it wasn't just a trailer and then doom,
yeah.
we're done. They actually brought...
Wasn't the last one black?
No.
The last one was black for PS2, and then they released
one
for the PSP afterwards.
After that,
okay.
I here's the thing. I don't think it's been interesting since the first one. I haven't really liked it since the first one. It's car combat. It was kind of...
It had a certain time in, you know,
right.
gaming world.
Yeah, don't... Because, understand, this was on the
yeah.
first PlayStation. Like, doing things...
Yeah, Vigilante,
running around
yeah.
and, like, doing 3D type of things was still
new.
Kind of novel back
yeah.
then.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Tomb Raider was unfucking believably high tech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I could look all around.
And up.
And up.
And down.
I could yeah. fucking swim. Like, you know, that was a big fucking deal. So.
Fight a T-Rex.
This was exactly at the same period of time, like 97 ish.
Yeah.
So it mattered that I could run around and shoot missiles from my car. Anymore, it's like, nah, I don't see you being able to do anything with your car combat game that I particularly care about. Other people are doing much more interesting things. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was kind of sad and tired looking. I didn't think it looked especially good. But I mean, I will always reserve the option to change my mind. If
yeah,
I actually get
totally.
My hands on it and say, okay, no, this is actually fun to play.
Totally.
It wasn't especially fun to watch. And it just didn't look like a hell of a lot. Yeah. But
They also showed Infamous 2 footage.
That was kind of weird, wasn't it?
That was... I don't... Here's the thing, man.
Man, they've got a lot of like shit built up in the trust bank, so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. But what I saw,
I didn't like
off.
That trailer at all. And I mean, I really, whatever. If you're listening to the show, you know how we felt about Infamous. I liked the story. I liked the characters. I liked the gameplay. I liked it. It was good. Yeah. Not great.
It was
really
fun.
Good. Just a great package, and I liked it.
Yeah.
And it seems to me the impression that I got from the game is they were stuck between a rock and a hard place, between the expectations of the legions of gamers who don't think your sequel is worthy unless it revolutionized every last aspect of your game. If they can see any familiarity to the game before, then you failed, and you will be flamed eternally on their forums somewhere.
Those people.
Conversely, you have the people who don't want to see, they want to see progression. They don't want to see change. And unfortunately, in that video, I saw a hell of a lot of change and not a lot of what I consider to be progression.
I saw change, but trying to stay the same with that change.
Well, the
I mean,
character was completely redesigned.
And
I didn't see the need for that. He
was
who he
picture,
was.
I thought, you know, who's this new guy?
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people were like, well, who is this dude? I'm like, oh, it's Colin Grant.
Like, no, it's not. Because, you know,
it's not the same voice actor. It's not the same character design.
In interviews with younger, them, like, they've said that, you know, at the end of the first one, they hinted at like this, he was ready for this big confrontation with, what was it, the Beast or whatever.
The Beast.
And they're saying, well, that didn't go so good. He had his ass handed to him. So, blah, 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 setting up for the second game. I'm like, what? That's
what?
I was supposed to do that. I was looking forward to that. And you're just telling me that, like, oh, well, he went and did it while you weren't looking, and it ended up badly, and
that's
now Infamous 2?
That's some tell instead of show fail. Yeah. Right
what
there.
I've heard was that... I heard it was a marketing thing. I heard it was that there was some...
But they had trouble selling the original Cole?
No, that apparently when they talked to players, obviously not people who, I guess, played the entire game and enjoyed it, but maybe people who didn't, they had a problem connecting with Cole or having some type of identification with Cole.
Cole is the guy who fucking annihilates people with lightning.
Yeah.
I connected with that very easily.
Well,
like,
apparently that was the case. They had a falling out with the voice actor for that guy as well. And so they completely changed everything, but they're trying to keep it the same.
Yeah,
it would have been better if they just said, oh, this is one of the other guys who was caught in that explosion that happened, you know, at Ground Zero.
You can fucking say that, dude, but they left me in a place at
I
the
understand.
End of that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And you don't go just not
resolving.
You would have lost a lot with me if you hadn't at least, if you had just jumped off and gone somewhere else. I can understand the thing with the voice actor, largely because I liked him just fine. Cole was growly and had sort of a rough, indistinct voice, which I thought it was fine. It matched his character just fine for me, but it also means that it was indistinct and is relatively easily replaced. And I thought that they did a little bit of voice. There was like a little segment of voice work in the new trailer, and it was like, we're not talking about a night and day difference. The difference is a matter of degrees. So,
but I guess coupled
that's okay.
I guess coupled with the entirely new makeover.
Yeah, but the entirely new makeover. Not to mention the fact that what he's actually running around doing in the city didn't look a whole lot like Infamous 1, and it looks like they've really detached themselves from his signature singular power set.
And I thought it's some sort of ice power set.
Yeah. And I really identified with that. The fact that they've like, here is your power set. We're not going to think, what makes a cool, like really swank, sexy superhero and do that to him? It's like, no, electricity, motherfucker. Make it interesting. And they found a lot of good ways of making it interesting and fun.
Yes.
And now it looks like they're diving off into other things. And at one point, it looked like he had a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, ah.
He did. It was whatever. It was like a trident type thing that he had.
Yeah.
That had some, yeah.
I just again, it was just like, what? I don't know what you're doing. I don't trust it as much as a lot of other people did, and I really liked the first one. And I've to be fair to it, I've questioned for a long time. Like after they left us where they were, and Cole is as powerful as he is, but you still know the stakes of like. What has to be done. I honestly have questioned how it could be done or if it could be done. I wasn't even sure that a sequel was the best idea, because the next step would be, the starting point would be a character with such an immensity of powers and ability. And
how could you make that power grander? How could you?
Yeah, exactly. If the starting point in two is the end point of one.
Mm-hmm. One of the thrills of the first one was gaining those.
Was gaining all those powers.
And strengthening the powers that you already had.
But conversely, one of the worst foibles
is taking it all away.
Is to strip it away from you just to have the excuse of starting all over. Well, you know, there's a lot of people who didn't play the first one. Well, fuck them! Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn it, I hate doing that. Because this is exactly what Mass Effect 2 did. They were unbelievably creative in their mechanism, right? In, like, disguising the mechanism. But it's exactly what they did. And everybody does it. They have no conviction to what they've done before, because the market forces demand that everything be a reboot. Because you know what? Every fucking sequel is a reboot. I have to fucking start over from scratch all the goddamn time.
Force Unleashed 2, that's what they're saying it's going to be like.
And I'm getting tired of the fucking excuses. You need to be like at a master's level of pulling that shit off, like BioWare is, in order for me to excuse it. Because I think that's basically what I see in Infamous 2. And it's like, you better do a damn good job of building up the same level of progression I had in the first one and give me a good reason to do it. Otherwise, I am going to get bored. At a certain point in time, I'm just going to feel like you keep taking shit away from me. So why should I invest myself? Why should I care? The money's a different issue. If the gameplay's solid, then it's solid. But why do I bother caring game to game?
I have a problem with the Samus model where, you know, like you start off like full max power.
And then it gets torn away from you.
Yeah, then blam, it's all gone.
Same thing happened in Prototype, which was often compared to Infamous. You start out as a complete badass for like the first 10 minutes of the game, completely stripped away from you. Same thing happened in Darksiders, too.
It's extremely common, and that's another thing that needs to fucking go away.
I don't like being shown how much of a badass I am in the first 10 minutes if all I'm going to do for the next 6 hours
is work my way back to that fucking point.
Even though they're not wrong, it is a good way to motivate you.
It is. I mean, I still played the fucking game, didn't
I? But it's not... I think it certainly generates a kind of motivation, but it takes something else away. It harms the kind of spirit.
Well, look what Infamous did. Infamous
was a perfect
Infamous showed me what I was going to be doing without me actually going in and doing it. If I wanted to upgrade my
without
powers...
Without ever taking it away from
me. Right. They never took it away from me. It's like, when you upgrade, here's what it's going to look like when you have this power. Yeah. Here's what can be done. And so that was a great way to do something
in there, and it's kind of stupid, but you click on the thing, and there's a video where your grenade turns into 5 other grenades. Holy shit, I want to do that. I didn't have to have it taken away from me to want to do that.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I know it's not simple. I know that game design is extremely hard. But
you don't have to dumb it down every single
time. Well, and the bigger thing is, we've had this discussion before, the whole art is a problem. It can't be made the way it needs to be made. It has to be made the way moms and dads can agree with it, and the marketing department can agree with it, and where we convince the publisher that it's going to sell an awful lot. It can't be made the way it needs to be made, necessarily.
Yeah.
Everybody has to hack away at something, and anything that comes out even remotely great, you know, even really good, is lucky. So I don't know. I know a lot of people were super jazzed about it because it's like, Infamous, blah blah blah, it's great. I'm like, yes, more Infamous, and I really want it to be good, but I'm looking at a lot of compromises when I see the video, and I think, if you've listened to us before, you know how very excited we were about it, how much fun we had playing Infamous 1. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why you're getting the reaction you are, mm-hmm. is that we're all just sort of like, we were super jazzed about the first one and really liked it. So we're just being extra guarded right now.
I hate it. I did not see anything on The Last Guardian.
Another thing that in an enormous list of shit that damn well should have been at the show
and
was fucking nowhere. I swear to God, they better blow up TGS and the VGAs this year.
I just don't understand why.
There's a lot of data we haven't gotten.
In my head, the way E3 works, it's a progression thing. You show us a trailer at one E3. If the game hasn't come out by the next E3, you show us more from that game because we obviously are already thinking, okay, it must be this year.
Yeah.
You know, it must be coming out in 2011. You showed us a trailer in 2010. You showed us one in 2009. Okay, here's another E3. Maybe you're going to give us a release date now. But they didn't touch it. They didn't say a damn thing.
This E3 didn't work anything like any E3s we've seen in the past. Even through the flux when it pared down and became, you know, some boring-ass insider convention and then is now sort of scaled back up to a hype convention, which is frankly where it belongs. I don't necessarily mind the change because I figure it's for good reason, but I feel like my expectations were seriously confounded this year. Oof. And that's not necessarily a good thing when the job of your expo is to disseminate information and generate excitement and kind of generate a lot of uptake of your product. To some degree, I need to see what I expect. I wanted to see more Last Guardian, right? And I needed to know, I know I'm going to see this, but I don't know what it's going to look like. I know I'm going to play this, I just don't know how it's going to be. That's the line between surprise and expectation.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't a surprise. But was it still fucking badass to see it, to actually feel it, to get hands on it? Yes. That's the line. So, and as far as surprises go, of course.
Yeah.
There was, and Gabe, you did see this.
You saw this?
The Portal?
Gabe came out on stage at the Sony press conference?
That's not about Portal. No. I mean, that's...
You didn't see that. Okay.
No. I just saw the trailer for Portal.
Yeah. It was about Portal, but it wasn't about Portal. What he was doing there had nothing... I mean, it had a lot
to do with... Portal was a way to introduce Gabe Newell on stage, basically.
Basically, he came out and was like...
I did hear the...
Portal on the PS3. PS3. See, you didn't hear Steam on the PS3. You fucking heard some... You played the fucking telephone game is what you played.
All right, wait. Okay. Quiz time. Why is it a big deal that Gabe was at the Sony conference, Matt?
Because that's the only platform that hasn't had a Valve game on it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's had Valve games on it.
Has it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Orange box.
It has a fucking orange box on it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I give up.
Gabe has spent the last 2 years...
Oh, railing against the PS3, hadn't he?
Yes, it was. Shut up.
It was on there because it was the reason Gabe has hated the PS3 for the past, what... 2 years now?
For like 2 years.
It was ported by EA UK or some shit.
But the whole thing was distributed. Left 4 Dead never made it to PS3.
Right, that's right. He was basically like, that's it. We're done with the PS3. Right. It's a nightmare to develop for. I hate it.
Sucks. It's also a closed-ass fucking platform.
Like, yeah.
That was his other thing. Didn't necessarily spend most of his time shitting on the PS3. What he was doing was talking about, like, walled gardens and stuff. That was the broader scope of his argument. I find there to be a vast amount of misunderstanding and disagreement about what his presence actually meant. Because I think a lot of people misunderstood what his problem was. He just didn't like the way that things were done on the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
It had not nearly as much to do with it as a platform. Although, Valve spending all of its time on the PC and then being able to put it shit on the 360 is a no fucking brainer. Clearly you see the relationship between the two. Mm-hmm. Valve has an actual, literal working relationship with Microsoft. That's obvious. The PS3 is an entirely different beast. But it wasn't just about, "Durr, your system is dumb, lol." Like, it wasn't like that. I think a lot of the console-only crowd don't understand what he is, what Valve is, and what Steam is. Like, what that entire, like, what that beast is and what it means to the world and how fucking important it is, and that the work they're doing is literally 5, 6, 7 years out ahead of what's going to be happening with consoles. Anybody who spreads across the multiple things, multiple platforms, obviously has a better understanding. But there's a lot of people who are console-only, PS3 diehards in particular, and RJ probably doesn't share this, but people who thought that Gabe was some kind of, like, he's been a fucking pariah to them for years now, because he's basically, from their perspective, been shitting on their console.
Yeah.
But more than just its development capabilities, because he's not stupid. He understands how powerful it is, even if it's hard to work for. But he also understands that their system is for managing shit is too closed, and it's retarded. So when he shows up and says, Portal 2 with Steamworks, right, which is what he said, not Steam on PS3, okay. But Portal 2 with Steamworks. There's a seriously, enormously big mm-hmm. fucking difference. It's galactically yes. large difference between yes. those two things. That meant shit that a lot of people couldn't actually piece together. Like, the meaning of that wasn't actually obvious. And a lot of people were, even though he was joking about it, a lot of people thought, you know, lol, Gabe just had his ass bought by Sony. And it's like, you know, I think you have that almost entirely backward. What it means, Gabe can do whatever the fuck he wants to do, man. He's yeah. got it. He built his own world to play in. And we all...
With his own money.
With his own... Out of his own fucking pocket. And you're telling me that they bought him a money hat?
Yeah.
Just so he'd show up and kowtow?
He's got his own custom fitted money hat.
Yeah.
Like... Probably look like head crabs.
Whatever, dude. Probably. He's fine. That's not how it works. You don't buy Gabe Newell with money. You buy Gabe Newell with letting him
tech and
do what he wants to do.
Which is what he came out there and said, that like basically the PS3 is now the most open platform for, you know, for doing things like this, which is why he said he believes Portal 2 will be best on PS3.
It will be the best console version.
The best console version.
He's not stupid.
Yeah.
He knows on which side his bread is buttered. You know, all three sides of his bread are buttered on the PC, mm-hmm. technically speaking. But, yeah, that's what he said. That's how you interest Gabe Newell. You don't... Whatever, dude. Money isn't what does it for him.
No.
Like... It's this kind of thing. When you say, okay, I tell you what, we'll step off of a lot of our bullshit regulations about how we manage our network, then you've got his ear.
Yeah.
So what really happened was Sony fucking changed their tune.
Yeah.
And then Gabe changed his. And what that means as a greater thing, the Steamworks integration, what that means is that the entire support structure for that game has changed entirely. Like,
it's huge.
It cannot operate in any other way, because it's all going to operate outside of, it's going to supersede the PlayStation Network, because that's fucking how Steamworks works.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've got a tweet about that, actually. Yeah. Lavo said, Steamworks on PS3, it's a direct shot at Big Brother Microsoft and a sign of things to come. Steam Cloud support for saves on a console mm-hmm. to a PC, and in the reverse as well, from PC to the console. What does Sony gain by allowing developers to sidestep the PSN? It sounds like a deal with the devil. Not that I'm complaining.
I don't know. I can't really grok the decision from their end. There's shit that doesn't make sense to me. Now I need some clarification. I'm not sure that Steam Cloud support was ever mentioned.
As far as I know, I got into the final little demo reel showing for Portal 2 over at Valve's meeting space. Yeah. They were not on the show floor. They were up in the meeting rooms upstairs.
Sure.
And I grabbed into one, and there was a guy there who was... He's just basically on the PR side of things. He wasn't anyone that I could ask any type of in-depth questions to. He said... But I asked him about this, and he said, it'll only be for Portal 2 for right now. This is kind of a...
Like a test bed?
We're going to see how it works.
We're going to see how this works. Going to see how well...
Sony's in, I assume?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
This is like on Sony's end, we're going to see how this goes kind of thing?
This was not a Sony rep talking to me. This was a Valve.
No, I'm trying to parse the statement. Who is... Never mind. Just go ahead.
Okay.
Valve already knows perfectly well how Steam Cloud works.
Yes.
Even across platforms. It works goddamn perfectly well from Windows machine to Windows machine, from Windows machine to Mac machine.
Mm-hmm.
They've already got that shit worked out. So.
Basically, the way I parse that statement is Sony is allowing us to try this with Portal 2 so they can see how it works.
Well, and how it integrates with Sony's shit.
Right.
And said that it will have Steam Cloud support. You'll be able to play it on the PC.
No. I understand how the Steam Cloud works.
Well, maybe
which
some
is why
don't.
I question its inclusion.
You'll be able to play. Some people who
I see you talking to them. You were looking at me in the way where it's like I'm talking to you.
So anyway, if you play this on the PC, you stop at a certain point, save point, you can pick up right where you left off.
All your saves are on the cloud.
On the PS3 and vice versa.
They always save to the cloud, and they, like, every time you're done, it, you know, rejigger stuff back on the cloud and everything, and it's fine. I play Torchlight that way. Mm-hmm. I play it on lunch breaks at work, and then I go home and play it some more. Like, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Of course, the other deal is I only bought Torchlight once.
Yeah.
I don't really understand. I mean, we're really far away from this now. Thanks, by the way, again, for the 2011 date on Portal 2.
Yeah.
But are you telling me that after I have the pleasure of buying your game twice, I can synchronize my saves? Or are you telling me that I can play it in both places somehow after only having bought it once? You telling me I can buy Portal 2 for the PS3
then
download it on my Steam account? If you're telling me that, you're talking about some serious shit.
Yeah.
If you're not telling me that, fuck you. I will never find out how well your Steam Cloud integration works.
We'll find out, like, once it goes on the weekend sale. Because, you know, I have a Portal on
weekend sale my ass. I'm buying that shit day one on the PC.
Oh.
What the fuck are you talking about? And because it's a PS3 game, I don't know when the hell that thing is going to go on sale on the on the PS3. Like, what the fuck?
Because I got the Orangebox first on the 360.
And I did too, but that's because I didn't have a working PC at the time. Yeah. Like, any self-respecting, industry-respecting person who can should buy that shit on the PC. That's where it belongs. We don't want to support this kind of behavior of, like, doing the shit on the console if you have another choice. But that's being a little asshole-ish, and I apologize if it comes off that way, but I'm fucking serious about that. Like, and I have a serious question about that. I am primarily going to be a PC gamer about that. I am buying Portal 2 day one on the PC. Mm-hmm. I feel perfectly confident in saying that. How in the hell am I supposed to get that? Like, can I then go download it from the PSN on my PS3?
Or maybe go over to a friend's house that has it on the PS3.
Yeah, but that's fuck that. Fuck, yes, probably I can do something like that. Or I can go rent it.
Yeah.
But my point is,
which I assume you're going to do so we can do the 4-player co-op stuff, right? Or was it 2-player co-op?
I'm supposed to.
2-player co-op.
2-player co-op.
But what the fuck if? Doesn't need to.
No. That now you're dreaming big dreams. That's not going to happen. I don't think.
Not now. But as far as I know, though,
cross platform multiplay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and do that right now between a Mac and a Windows and a PC.
Yeah,
right?
But that's neither here nor there. I can technically do cross platform play on World of Warcraft between a Mac and a PC. That's
or,
not
Shadowrun.
Yeah, that's not. That's not that big a deal. Using the Mac and the PC as an example of multi-platform play is bullshit because they're both PCs.
Yeah.
They're just using different operating systems.
Yeah.
That's entirely a client problem, not anything else. But the difference between the PS3 and the PC in terms of how things work on the back end it's a much bigger deal.
I mean, it's almost like they just mentioned Steam and all of a sudden a door of opportunity as big as the
fucking room we're in. I mean, that's not unfair.
Yeah.
The fact that people's imaginations ran wild is an indicator of several things. One, unless it was intentional and he's a wily dude, but he's not like a dick about it. He tries to be open and fairly honest. And when he shows up at places, he says what he means to say. Gabe tries to be a communicator, or at least a disseminator of accurate information. He isn't he's not a joker in terms of withholding things and then yan-yang on you about it later. He doesn't like to do that. So I don't think he's gaming expectations. I just think he managed them poorly. I think he let them run away and become a greater thing than they were ever meant to be. That's why we all ran to the place of hopefully it's Ep 3, or a lot of people are saying Half-Life 3, or any of these other things. Yeah. This is still a big deal. And for the industry as a whole, this is actually a bigger deal. Because something, the way that Steam works is going to be a big deal if anything like it ever matures on the console.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he is now getting personally invested with some aspect of his existing platform, like, that's a big deal. even if he's just sort of edging in there a little bit with very limited Steam Cloud support and very limited Steamworks support as a test bed.
Auto updates are a huge deal for the console to come from from the developer.
Yes, because that skirts the fact that everything is happening the way it is in Microsoft's walled garden is a huge fucking pain in the ass for all of us, and we know this. To know that a fucking patch that fixes a critical gameplay bug, even in a single-player game, much less a multiplayer game, is fucking stirring in the goddamn certification stew for weeks on end is maddening. Mm-hmm. And it has to be for somebody like Gabe, who just fucking, I don't know, count the number of updates Team Fortress 2 has gotten on the PC.
Exactly. Team Fortress 2, as it exists on the PC, could never exist on the console. But
not today's console. Yeah.
With Steamworks and auto updates, it absolutely...
All I'm saying is, basically, I don't see this as any kind of immediate win for Sony. I mean, although, in the long run, I think it could be. Sony could somehow convince Gabe Newell to do business on their shit.
Yeah.
If they're like, you know what, fine. We will blow open the fucking rules and let you do what you need to do on our console. Like, Jesus Christ, dude. That is huge.
That's great. Swallow your pride, man.
It's not even that. It's not even swallow your pride. It's take a longer view.
Yeah.
Commit yourself to some other idea about what the future of gaming really is. And...
Look what the future of gaming became on PC as far as Steam and what it,
Oh, yeah, he changed it.
It's the current state,
What's the question you ask when a game gets released? Is it going to be, can I get it on Steam? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a Steam release or is it going to be a downloadable version? Put it that way.
All right, regardless of the quality of the actual game aside, take some PC gamers' temperature on the difference between Games for Windows Live integration of Fallout 3 and Steam integration for New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They themselves switched that shit up. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to do this game for Windows shit anymore.
Yeah, because it's fucking tragic.
Scott, let me ask you a question real quick. You were talking about what they were saying when asked about the cross-platform save files. Mm-hmm. Did you get to ask them directly about that?
I had only asked the guy who was
PR guy.
Taking the appointments in front of the PR desk. Is it Lombardi? Doug Lombardi?
Yes.
Yeah. He was... When I walked in, they were in the middle of a presentation that he was giving. Okay. Their plane was leaving in the next 30, or they had to be at the airport in the next 30 minutes. So Doug got out of there and left, and then this PR guy who was just, people were coming up saying, I have an appointment. He was checking the books and marking it off. He's who I asked. He's the one that was only, he was the only one in there.
Okay.
Other than the other journalists who were in there with us. And so that was pretty much it. Oh, ran into a guy working for Rockstar at that thing. Watching the Portal 2 thing, and he's currently playtesting GTA 5.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, as an aside. that's what he said. He said saves will go.
That's a perfect example.
I mean, did you find something new, or did you find...
No, I found... The reason I asked, I want to be sure that you heard it firsthand and not secondhand, because there's some... how Wikipedia is about new stuff. And, they specifically say that it doesn't do save games... across platform, and I went to the source, which was a Kotaku article, which just had update. It doesn't do, save games cross platform. But there was absolutely no source for that statement. So
that's who I got it from. That's who said that there was. And so
until I hear otherwise, I'm going to operate from a position of very limited Steamworks support, no Steam Cloud support. That's just. I think start with one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Steamworks support simply allows them to support their game directly and independent of the PlayStation Network. That's the first big step. The other stuff is whatever.
That was one of the... we'd mentioned this, I think we mentioned this off the air, about DC Universe Online. That's a Sony Online Entertainment mm-hmm. title. Getting released for PC and getting released for PlayStation 3. And when asked about, will the servers be integrated with PC mm-hmm. players and with that, they said no, they can't because of the patch schedule.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The way they can't really sync up when the PC is going to get patched at the same time the PS3 would get patched. And so that sort of thing, which, the way Steamworks is, it's just like when we want to do whatever we want to do to it, we get it done. And we don't have to worry about... We don't have to. Essentially, they can bypass all the shit that we always hear from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Which is, oh, it's in certification. It's in certification. It's
which,
in certification.
Quite frankly, when the fuck was when was the last time you ever got something and was like, thank God for certification because this works so well?
Right.
Fuck certification.
Ravenlock has a question for you, James. Interesting quote from James in the last episode, and he quotes you and says, the interesting thing about Valve is they're in complete control of whatever they want to talk about, whatever's most interesting to them. Do you still think that's true? And if so, why was that it?
What was what it? Oh, the thing at E3?
Yes, yeah. Whatever's most interesting to them is what they want to talk about. Why was that it?
Well,
if they're in
control. I don't
think
that's the most interesting thing to them right now. I just think it's the most interesting thing that they're in a position to talk about.
Right. I was going to say the same thing. I was like, this was Sony's press conference. This wasn't Valve's.
This wasn't Valve's press conference. Yeah. If Valve just sort of came out and said, these are all the things that I find most interesting. Like, it wouldn't necessarily.
You want to talk about who would have won E3?
Yeah. But at the same time, I and we probably answered that in part. It's that you don't get Gabe's interest with money, or at least not just with money.
Yeah.
You get. I mean, you have to because the dude is always interested in going out into unproven places that aren't a guaranteed revenue stream. So yes, the dude needs to rake in a lot of money. He knows from personal experience what it's like to have to finish making your game out of your own goddamn wallet.
He feels like a guy that walks around with these ideas in his head that are, you know, completely alien to everyone who needs to be important to.
You should go back, if you're ever bored, go back and try to find some of the shit he was talking about literally 10 years ago. Listen to the way he would talk. Mm. Back then, some people, the occasional dude, knew him as, yeah, he's the guy that's in charge of Valve. You know, they made Half-Life. Oh, okay, whatever, that's some game. Motherfucker was out at the fucking edge of space with his big think stuff a very long time ago. He was operating in spaces that other people couldn't even, they didn't even know existed yet. Mm-hmm. And so he's always trying to get there and kind of drag the rest of the industry along with him.
But he feels-
if Sony, who has defined themselves by tight-fisted, like, teeth-clenching control over their shit.
No shit.
In sort of matched operation with Microsoft, comes along and says, we are willing to open our fist up to let you do what you want to do. That's fascinating to them.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. It opens them up into new platforms, lets them learn about new ways of doing things. I think that is absolutely fun for them.
I'm curious how that came about.
But outside of the context of Sony's thing, no, I think this is far from the most interesting thing to them.
Yeah, like, I'm really curious how that came about. Who approached who? Did Sony come back to Gabe and say that we're finally willing to do this? Or did Gabe say, look, one more shot or I'm going over here?
Yeah.
And, you know, Microsoft said, you know.
Over there because Left 4 Dead never made it materialized on the PS3.
No. I'm saying he, you know, went to them and said, "This is what I want to do is bringing Steamworks on for Portal 2. I want to offer it to you guys because I'm going to go. Otherwise, I'm going to pitch it to Microsoft. And you see what they've done.
I don't think he even would have bothered pitching it to Microsoft because
Microsoft would have never said yes in a million years to something like.
Well, then how would he go back to Sony and do? I'm wondering how he would have.
I'm thinking Sony went to him.
If anything, Microsoft has gotten more closed with the 360.
Well, because
over
that's
the years.
Being closed about the 360 has been good for them.
Yeah,
it makes them money.
I mean, Final Fantasy XI is the only MMO to ever make it out on the damn thing. Meanwhile, others have attempted but have been completely unsuccessful.
They've always been stymied by Live.
Yeah.
Always been stymied by something
over on Microsoft's end. Champions Online never came out because of some holdup at Microsoft.
You could probably credit the slow and somewhat unfairly retarded evolution of the PSN for making it possible for this to happen.
Yeah.
They were never able to monetize their network.
Mm-hmm.
And even now that they're doing it, they're not able to do it in a way that matches what Microsoft is able to do. Microsoft got their fucking fist around our balls a long time ago by placing everything even remotely interesting behind a paywall. Yeah. Sony didn't do it.
And they did that out of the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're addicted to it. And can you blame them? I mean, even if it's completely arbitrary, that's not an inconsequential revenue stream, what they get from live gold subscriptions.
So, but meanwhile, Sony is over here with an underdeveloped system. It doesn't cost them. It probably doesn't cost them anything. It certainly doesn't cost them any. They don't have to. They don't have to destroy. They don't have to blow a hole in a paywall to let him do this. Mm-hmm. So,
because there was no wall to begin with.
And you know, FF11 was probably just, you know, hey, we want to get Final Fantasy on our system, on our platform, to try to make some inroads into some markets we haven't been in yet. Now they've really been there and done that, and they've brought Final Fantasy to that system in other ways besides MMOs. So,
yeah, I know, it was strange. It was interesting, and it was simultaneously a little deflating, because it's like, boy, I'd like to watch you talk to me about episode 3.
Yeah.
But I see what you're doing here. I can see through all the boring shit and see that what you're actually doing is showing me that you're talking about the future.
You're doing that thing you do.
Yeah. You're talking about the future. And quite frankly, in the scheme of things, episode 3 is small potatoes when compared to the future, particularly a Gabe Newell future. Or a Valve future, I guess I should say. So.
And aside from all that, Portal 2 looked like an awful lot of fun.
It was really.
Did you guys watch the extended
trailer? Oh, yeah, of course
we
did.
Yeah, man.
Okay, because that's man. What I found out after trying so hard to get into this demo thing, this Valve meeting thing. Mm-hmm. That's what they showed, was like this really extended trailer. Then I was able to look at the internet, you know, a couple of days after, I was like, oh, motherfucker, it's online. I didn't see anything fucking new.
I got to tell you, man, it's very, very hard to get me to laugh at a video game.
Yes.
Like, I can kind of smile or think something is funny, but it's hard to get me to laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And at a joke, at something that's humor, at something that's just cute and interesting and unexpected, I'll laugh because, hey, that's neat. But it's something that's clearly designed to make me laugh. I'm a very tough audience.
Did you watch the extended trailer?
No. Fuck me. Dude, fucking Valve. They are very good. Their timing is good. These guys, if anything, they have learned how to put timing into a game. And like Jeremy and I were both watching it, and it's just like, no, these guys know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They are probably the most excellent puppeteers.
Yeah.
And not just animators. Like, again, it's just where our theater life kind of ekes into thing. And it's very obvious when watching them that they understand puppeteering beyond just animation.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of stuff that's delivered from an inhuman, like a very clearly inhuman actor, to a human receptor that you have to know beyond just simple image. It's very good. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah. It was 6 to 8 hours on the single player campaign, 6 to 8 hours on the co-op campaign. The co-op campaign being a completely a story in and of itself, yeah, but still in the universe of what you were doing and what you were playing in the single player campaign. So you're looking at quite a good value there. It's, you know, about 16 hours play if you can do both.
It doesn't, dude. It doesn't matter if ever there were a perfect example for value being content or quality of time.
This would be it.
Occasionally you'll find that, you know, aberrant human who thinks that Portal was a waste because it was only like 4 or 5 hours long, but they're usually consumed by the internet pretty fast. Yeah.
It turns out that Rockstar guy that was there had never played Portal 1.
I'm like, what an asshole.
Dude, take an afternoon, go play it. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
I'm not asking you to finish Oblivion, you know, while you're busy making video games, but you need to play Portal.
Yeah, like, dude, go play
it. And not even just because I need you to conform, just that this is an example of how you this is the less is more example.
Yeah,
you know, learn from it, because you guys frankly need a lesson. No, and less
shit,
is more,
man.
Not that your more is more is bad, but you could use some of the other. So,
and that wraps up the press conferences.
Yeah. The rest of it is obviously kind of piecemeal.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Kind of non-specific, I suppose. The digestion, like, it's all very strange every single time this happens. Trying to sort out real news from fake news, or misreported news, I guess. I'm not surprised, of course, but you appear to be in a very small minority of people that actually
apparently I am
like Crackdown 2.
I've noticed that
because the demo is available now.
I played the demo. I got into an early access of it over the weekend, and my first time in demo, as soon as I leveled up in my agility orb collecting and was able to jump higher or whatever, it all came back to me. It was all like, ah, fuck, the crack is set in.
Yeah.
I am now addicted once
more.
See,
this is absolutely you, though. You're like, oh, this is totally familiar and just like a bunch of shit I've done before. I love it and I'm happy. So many other people are like,
it doesn't offer anything
new. This
is
fucking just like what I did before.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck? You know? I haven't had a chance to play it yet. There was some complaints about the length of the demo. It's just 30-minute demo.
It is a 30-minute time demo. That's it.
Did you play the Crackdown demo? The Crackdown 1 demo?
Yeah. What was that one?
That was like 10 minutes at most.
Was it? Okay.
I couldn't
remember if it was timed or if you just got to a certain section and it stopped.
No, because remember, they had the same thing where it was like massive, massive, massive rate of experience gain.
Which they're doing this. They're doing that in this one, too.
It was that same thing. But you didn't have much. You couldn't get beyond like the area with the very first gang sub boss, and it was timed. It was pretty short.
Yeah, this one I can't even.
It was very short. It was far shorter than half an hour.
Yeah, I can walk to I can walk on a bridge that takes me to the agency tower, but it cuts off halfway with a wall. So, although my favorite spot to snipe tires is it still there? It's there. It's in the demo. You can get to it. I mean, as soon as I ventured out, like the place where they put me in the beginning of the demo felt very unfamiliar. It was the shipyard, but that for whatever reason that just felt really unfamiliar. And as soon as I ventured out, I knew exactly where the fuck I was. And I was like, I wonder if I can get over to my spot. And I got over to my spot, and I was targeting tires and shooting them out. And I was like, yes, it's here. You know, I knew exactly. But that. As soon as I recognized that, though, it did kind of bug me, because then all of a sudden I realized it was a plus and a minus. Number one, I didn't have to relearn any of the map. Number two...
You didn't get to relearn a new map.
I didn't get to relearn a new map. Everything is...
Your sense of space and exploration is absolutely... I don't know, stillborn. Like, and that's a big deal for me. I've said a lot of times I'm an explorer. Mm-hmm. I like to discover the new places that they've created. And if they haven't created new places, then that's an automatic problem for me.
You, isn't it?
I knew that before. I think I've said that a long time ago. The expectation just is, like, let's see what you've done to build upon the gameplay. And what new types of gameplay are there? Like, what new methods do I have for dealing with the new enemies? If you haven't given me new space, I think it's totally fair for somebody to be pissed that they haven't given me new anything else either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I was able to handle the idea of no new space, or the same space with maybe some subtle changes here and there, but we're going to change the gameplay significantly and we're going to take it in this direction and do something a little bit different. But apparently that's not the case. I'll have to, you know, reserve judgment.
And the demo does include 4-player co-op.
Oh!
Okay.
So, I mean, within that 30-minute time limit, you can sync up and play with other people who have the demo as well.
Maybe. Yeah. There's never been my playing fucking demos online.
Never. You would have to go out of your fucking way to make it happen. And I'll be doing other things. I know I will.
Did you guys ever play the Transformers multiplayer?
Yeah.
I played just a little bit of it the first night I downloaded it, and then it was too busy Friday to get anything done. So how did you like that?
I did not like what I played of the multiplayer.
I didn't either. But I played very little of it, but that little I played, I didn't like.
I did like how it felt to walk around as a Transformer and shoot and transform.
Which was really the only thing I would have been looking for the demo. Like, what's it feel like to be behind the wheel of this game?
I mean, granted, we're going to get to experience this pretty much tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Cool. But yeah, the deathmatch did not appeal to me, so...
Yeah, but that was never one of the things I was looking forward to anyway. Was the
right. It was just, it could have been like a nice extra thing to have.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in the fact that we got a multiplayer demo, but, you know, I looked at the silver lining of, well, at least I get to mess around with what their controls are, with the way the game plays, that sort of thing. So, anyway, what else? Anything else you want to go over?
We didn't mention the...
in the course of our discussion here, we didn't talk about the new 360.
We didn't.
How did we miss that?
We talked about it before.
When they did the money shot for the press,
and it was very funny because you were supposed to be in that crowd originally.
I was, and
I had two thoughts. My first was, poor fucker Scott, he didn't get a new 360. I was kind of pissed that they fuck you for giving everybody one of those 360s.
Giving the press,
because they're all journos, man.
And even some of them aren't. Yeah. Some of them that got in aren't even.
No, journos. I know, but the vast majority, their whole stance is that this is an industry insider event. But
all of a sudden, it made sense as to why they'd turned down some of the foreign people who invited originally.
Yeah.
Because, number one, it ain't released over there. Number two, we can't ship it over there.
Yeah.
And so they actually said, no, you can't come in. You can't come to this thing.
I mean, that was kind of dumb, but it was like, what? I mean, nobody really care. That's not some breach of... As a breach of etiquette goes, or a breach of ethics goes, it doesn't even register on the scale used to judge Microsoft. So who fucking cares? It's just that scale's calibrated for numbers that are significantly higher. My second thought was, that poor fucker Matt, he just bought another 360 a couple days ago.
Did you? I don't remember that.
Yes,
Because you didn't take your own fucking advice.
I know.
Matt was like, when I get back from Texas, I'm going to buy another 360. Yeah. But what did he do? I'm going to go ahead and buy it before I leave for Texas.
Can you do anything about that? Have you done anything with it? Can you take it back?
You opened it, didn't you?
I've opened it,
yeah. You can't fucking do shit once you've opened it, motherfucker.
Your best bet's a GameStop trade-in. That's about it.
Which they're offering
special deals.
They're
doing a good one. They're doing a good one.
$100 trade-in. I could trade that in. Trade in the hard drive. Trade in my network adapter. And trade in a controller. I think I'll be.
If I traded in everything that I had,
100 short.
Yeah, I would only be. I'd only be about $80 short of getting the new one.
Well, here's,
you know
what,
if yours is on your last legs like mine is, that might actually be a good deal.
But you just bought another
brand new.
Yes, it's a little more feature rich. A 250 gig hard drive is really great.
If
you're some sort of austerity gamer and you don't believe in downloading things and buying things and somehow still have 50% or more of the capacity of your 120 gig drive available, then yeah, okay.
Fine. No, the 250 is really great. What shocked me the most was the fucking Wi-Fi built in.
Yeah, like, really? They should have done.
Oh, I know. Ages ago. I agree. I'm just like, Jesus Christ! Only now are you getting to that, and only now,
5 years into this thing.
Yeah, you just a fucking earlier this year offered the brand new wireless adapter for $100.
Yeah.
The wireless in, and now you're just installing it in there, and it's $100 more. You know, maybe $200 more. I don't know, but anyway, it was fuck the.
I mean, whatever. It's what it should be. 250 gigs is great.
Yeah.
That's all. I can use that shit up because I never ever fucking play a game from a disc ever. I'm sorry, their optical drives are fucking trash. I install everything.
It created an interesting problem I didn't see right away for certain people. Like my buddy Billy, his 360 is completely just fucked. It'll boot up, but he doesn't play games anymore. We had managed to rig his drive so that we basically took the thing apart so he could take the top off of his drive to put a disc in it because the tray was fucked. And swap games that way. And that worked for
a while. Yeah, no, yeah.
But now it ain't playing anything. So he wants to get a new system, but he doesn't have a whole lot of money, so he just wants to buy a core, and he can't put his old drive on a new slim unit. So at first I was like, man, you're gonna be able to get the new system. You're all slim and sexy and yeah, they have different hard drives.
Yeah, he's gonna need himself. But you could, the old data transfer cable supposedly works.
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Or you could buy the new one for $20.
Mm. There are lots of old ones out there in the wild.
I've still got mine.
Yeah.
So
it was just more a matter of he didn't
want
to spend the extra.
It's not as simple as that.
Yeah, $100 or so to get a model with the hard drive when he already had a hard drive.
Yeah. No, that's true. Too fucking bad.
Yeah.
Not much you can do about it.
I'm probably just gonna keep mine.
Well, otherwise you're taking a loss for the inclusion of wireless N and a black, a black body. Routers. Which actually I don't particularly care for.
And no red rings.
Yeah.
because they took the lights
doesn't mean
out.
It fails.
It doesn't mean it fails. It just lets you know differently.
It just doesn't fail, you know.
Yeah, it
does. And then show red rings.
It has the beady little red eye. It has like the howl eye. And then turns it off because it's like, your shit's all weird and we're going to turn it off now. It's like...
The in broadband wouldn't even affect me because I'm not even running an in router.
Nobody's running a fucking in router, dude. Nobody. The fuck. I mean, it's good future-proofing, but, you know, your Slim 360 will die before you get an in router. And that's another thing. It's like, okay, they've revamped it. Supposedly they put better shock mounts on the optical drives, even though it's the same optical drive. It's quieter because it uses less power. And that breakdown was actually pretty good. I don't know if you saw
I saw that breakdown.
That was fucking significant. I like the new drive design, I guess. Like, I like the fact that it's a bigger drive. I mean, I like it. I don't need any of what it's selling me at all. So I'm perfectly happy sticking with the thing I got, like, to replace my tits up one a while back. And I may wind up having to buy a second one anyway, because Dana's now kind of attached to the idea of having another one out in the living room. So when the time comes...
It's nice to know it's there.
I will have it, but I certainly don't understand having, like, a workable, perfectly fine system like what I have now. And then trading all of that in to get this.
Yeah.
The only thing I would be buying is I would be doubling my hard drive capacity, which is tempting.
Yeah. I even went and stopped by a GameStop today and asked them about that. Like, oh, we don't have any in now, but if you trade in your stuff, you know, put you on layaway for when it comes in, we'll give it to you. I'm like, so in the meantime, I'll just be without a system. Like,
really. That's what I've read from people trying to do this is like, no, they'll take it now and they'll put you on the list and they'll go towards that. And I'm like, but you won't have... You won't have nothing to play.
Yeah.
You won't have anything to... Well, I mean, other people have multiple consoles they can mess with if they want to.
That's
still
a stupid way of doing it.
Yeah, it's really still pretty stupid.
I can't do that.
Whatever. It's fine. And none of this will matter in a couple of weeks when the inventory...
It won't. Put it this way. It won't matter by the time I need one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what will matter is that they will have been in the wild long enough for people to really, like... Because so much of it has been pure speculation. So much of it is that it's just sex. That's all they're doing is they're selling you a sexy object. And it is, and that's fine. People have come up with an awful lot of reasons to justify their purchase of it. Instead of just being honest, it's like, damn, this thing's hotter than the piece of shit I have now. I want it.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing wrong with saying that. So don't try to dress it up. The reality is that everything we think we know and have been reciting as fact... is just some shit that old boy said in the thing. Like, instantly the internet rang from one end to the other about how quiet this fucking thing was. Just because douchebag got up there and said it was whisper quiet. Well, I don't fucking know yet. I really don't know yet. I mean, at that point, I think a few people now actually do have them in their possession and said that, yes, actually, it's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
But
I've also heard they say that it runs really hot, too.
Yes. But, like, at that point, it was like, no, there's so much we don't know.
Instead of actually being a journalist and reporting what you know, you're just going to go out and repair whatever.
No, it's totally fucking quiet. No,
why do we even send people to E3?
I don't know.
Why don't they just, like, put on their TV show and send out press releases that they can put on their website?
I know. And then just, like, send fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. Because, like...
Because I get to watch a wrestling match when I...
Yeah, whatever.
Did you get my LaParca autograph?
No.
Did you try? Bitch.
No, the line was too long.
I
had to go eat and then go to the hotel room for whatever the hell it is.
I had to
go
not
the
do anything
room.
Monday.
Yeah. Was he there Monday?
Man, how the fuck do I know? I wasn't there.
He wasn't fucking there. It wasn't at Starbucks trying to get on the internet.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're by the time any of us is really going to buy one of these things, there will be more information about how they live their life, you know? I believe the damn thing's quiet, particularly if you're not running the optical drive. But I don't run the optical drive now anyway.
Yeah, really.
I run it for a total of 8 minutes for every game I play.
I realize that thing's probably not for me right now, having two of the old units and one hard drive, able to take the hard drive and my saves with me between the two.
That's a good point.
Someone else said
and it also doesn't support memory cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got rid of the
the
MU slot.
Which would mean that would be the only other way to move my
saves. No. They support USB storage devices, external USB storage devices.
All right, cool.
Up to
32 gigs.
32 gigs, yeah. So
which is excellent. Stupid.
very, very fucking stupid. I mean, like, it's fine in the thumb drive world.
Oh, yeah.
But not in terms of the USB hard drive world.
That's weird that they've changed that, because when I was in Korea... Yes,
but they changed it a while back. Yeah. They changed it over a year ago.
Yeah, because, like, when I was in Korea, my 500 gig worked fine, and I loved that. And I just, plugged that thing in there.
I can never remember that...
That they support that shit now.
To do that, yeah.
Oh, but did they drop the support for larger hard drive sizes? I didn't think they had ever supported more than 32 gigs.
My 500 gig worked fine, because that's what I had all my movie files and, like, TV shows and stuff on my 500 gig.
Yeah.
And I'd go out into the common area where the big TV was and plug it into there, and it worked.
Then it may be an issue between, like, just reading what's off of an existing drive and the difference between that and writing to it.
Yeah.
Because what he's talking about is the ability to transfer data from one place to another.
Well, yeah, I know my terabyte didn't work.
You couldn't put anything on that thing. You couldn't, your 500 gig when you stuck
it would
in
just,
there.
Yeah,
you couldn't put anything
on it.
It's
a readable drive, that's one thing. But it was just accessing. But as a drive for, like, what they allow you to do now, which is, like, fucking store shit on there.
I couldn't even transfer. Like, I put my 250 gig in there, and I can't take stuff off the 250 gig and put it onto the 360's hard drive, just the same as I can't take anything off the 360's hard drive and put it on that 250 gig. I can just access that to watch stuff, basically. But yeah, that still works for me as far as I know.
My 2 terabytes doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just, it's... Yeah. I mean, it's more than what we had before. Still kind of dumb. Whatever.
But they also said, somebody on our forums, I think... installed a game to the hard drive and said it installed a lot faster.
Yeah, I think I saw the same thing, maybe. I don't really know. That's kind of outside of the realm of my experience, because I don't have any reason to be fucking around with that shit anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know nearly as much as I'd like to know in that regard. I'm mostly out of stuff to say for right now.
That's fine. We've been going on for a while now. So
a minute or two.
Yeah.
Medal of Honor sucks.
You're the only one that's played.
You were telling me about that.
Yeah, Metal Arms piece of shit.
The multiplayer.
Multiplayer's piece of shit. Which means that I'm not going to stay on the hook for the possibility that the single player will be fun. Because there was no chance that single player was ever going to be worth the full price of admission. The only thing that was going to make it worth a purchase is if it had the kind of multiplayer with long legs that I could see myself enjoying for some time. And it's probably the most uninspired shooter multiplayer I've played in forever. And I always need to have some kind of shooter multiplayer. Whether other people consider it to be generic or sameness, those are not the same thing. But it's like, I don't know, you know, it's a common denominator in my life that sometimes I just always need to jump in an FPS and go shoot some guys, and I will always need one of those. And I'm always looking for the next best one to come along and be my new best friend for a while. You know. So to jump into the fucking beta and see it was just, it's not the bugs, it's not the stability issues. Those things are always forgivable. And anybody that has truly harsh things to say about the performance of the beta, particularly one that honestly is so far away from release, that's just not fair.
Yeah.
But we know the betas aren't betas anymore. They're marketing betas. And there will be no significant changes to the gameplay design of this thing. It is not good.
Now, you got into that from playing Bad Company 2 or doing a pre-order or what?
I pre-ordered it on Steam because I already had Bad Company 2, which gave me the beta days and days early.
Right. Yeah.
But I played it, didn't like it, so it's okay. I mean, you can cancel your pre-orders on Steam. It's perfectly fine.
Gershnort was saying, what the fuck is wrong with the Battlefield servers? 1943 is unplayable and Bad Company 2 is approaching it.
I don't know.
Did you play any? You play any Bad Company?
No, I didn't play any of that. I was on Medal of Honor when I was playing anything like that. I have no idea, unless they were.
I haven't played it, you know, except for that one time, a while back ago.
Yeah, I haven't played it since we kind of moved off of that. And we're dealing with some of these console games. I played it like a couple weeks, I think. So I wouldn't know, unfortunately. Maybe by the time I play it again, it'll be fine. I hope. The Medal of Honor sucks.
Well, we didn't get to some of your tweets tonight. We had lots of other stuff going on, but we will.
Yeah, kind of knew that would happen.
I got them saved.
I've seen them. Sorry.
Yeah, I've got them saved. We'll get to them. I promise. No tweet left behind. And we've also got emails that we did not do tonight either, so...
It's the one time. We still prefer to do it the new way. I like the tweets and emails at the beginning.
Yeah, we're not giving up on them. Jesus Christ.
We just have to get the E3 out of our system. This is how it goes. It's what everybody's doing right now.
I went to Telltale Games, and they did not have a damn thing for Back to the Future or Jurassic Park.
Ain't no... This E3 ain't about showing video games anymore.
They had a hoverboard made out of duct tape, though. Painted tape and cardboard and stuff. And I took a picture of myself with that.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
I saw that picture that you posted.
Yeah. That's it.
See you next week.